the drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Donald Trump won a big PR victory yesterday. He won a big PR victory mainly because it seems like the Democrats at the upper echelons of the party, the people who are running Joe Biden's campaign, they don't seem to know even relatively recent history. The 2016 campaign that pitted Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump turned into a campaign about upper class elitism that largely predominated in places like Washington, D.C. and New York City against Donald Trump's sort of blue collar vibe. And yesterday that was on precisely the same sort of display in New York City. So you had four presidents who descended into New York City yesterday, but they went for very different purposes. Donald Trump went to New York City to attend the wake of a New York City police officer who was murdered in the line of duty. The visitation was for Officer Jonathan Diller, who was fatally shot during a traffic stop on Monday and was held in suburban Massapequa on Long Island. According to the Associated Press, police said the 31-year-old Diller was shot below his bulletproof vest while approaching an illegally parked car in Queens. Diller was married, had a one-year-old son, and was pronounced dead at the hospital. Here was Donald Trump talking about law and order and a crackdown on crime coming out of the memorial service for this dead young officer.
This is such a sad occasion. The only thing we can say is maybe something is going to be learned. We've got to toughen it up. We've got to strengthen it up. This should never be allowed. Things like this shouldn't take place, and to take place so often.
You've got to toughen it up. We've got to have law and order. These things can't happen. We need law and order. This can't happen. Thank you very much.
The same exact time that Donald Trump was visiting this memorial service, the Democrats were preparing for a ritzy fundraiser over at Radio City Music Hall. President Biden went to Radio City Music Hall. He was joined there by Barack Obama as well as Bill Clinton. They apparently raised more than $26 million, and they had a bevy of stars. It was a cavalcade of glitzy Hollywood celebrities, ranging from Lizzo to Cynthia Erivo to Lea Michele of Glee, and also who's now on Broadway. Had all these stars just singing, dancing for the assembled crowd, many of whom I'm sure were paying tens of thousands of dollars for the privilege. And it's the glitz and the glamour that were at the center of all of this. There is video of Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton literally rising from underneath the stage, like it's some sort of bizarre rock concert. Here they come. The stage literally rises, and it has these three presidents on it. First of all, you don't know how old Joe Biden is until you see him next to Barack Obama. It really is an astonishing thing. I mean, Barack Obama looks significantly younger because he is significantly younger. Joe Biden looks older than Bill Clinton, who stopped being president of the United States in January of 2001. Obama looks bewildered to even be there. He's getting these sorts of rounds of applause from Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. It's so clear, by the way, that Obama is such a celebrity. I mean, Obama obviously has charisma. He's loose out there. He's charming. And Joe Biden is staggering around on the stage. And then Stephen Colbert comes charging out to pay homage to Joe Biden. He interviews all three presidents. Now, this was closed to the press. The reason it was closed to the press, presumably, is because they knew that it was actually quite a bad look. In a time when most Americans are deeply unhappy with the direction of the country, they're having this ritzy, glitzy, glamorous fundraiser in the center of New York City at Radio City Music Hall. According to NBC News, Mindy Kaling from The Office originally, and she had her own show, obviously, she hosted the program. It was also hosted by Stephen Colbert, who is, in fact, just an apparatchik for the Democratic Party. He has been for a while. He moderated a conversation with Biden, Clinton, and Obama, in which all of them ripped into Donald Trump, of course. And again, Donald Trump was busily going to, you know, a national memorial service for a fallen officer in a Democratic city. So let me ask you, which one is more sympathetic? Donald Trump going to visit with the family of a slain New York City police officer, or Joe Biden, who still has not gone to, for example, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is an hour outside Washington, D.C., even just to stand there for the cameras. Instead, heading on over to Radio City Music Hall to hang out with Uber celeb Barack Obama and former Uber celeb Bill Clinton. Other special guests included Queen Latifah, Ben Platt. Apparently, according to NBC News, during the nearly hour-long moderated conversation, Colbert joked that the moment was historic because three presidents have come to New York and not one of them appear in court. So again, it's all these little jibes, these snide jibes at Trump. But Trump is busy doing the thing that blue-collar people do, and that kind of normies do. And when a tragedy occurs, we visit the memorial services. We try to comfort the family. It's a bad look for the administration. It's a bad look for the White House. It's a bad look for Joe Biden. And it's very reminiscent, again, of 2016. You remember the 2016 Democratic National Convention? We had a bevy of celebrities all involved in the filming of the most obnoxious music video of all time. All these people singing fight song to Hillary Clinton because she was a fighter. And everybody just recoiled in horror at the absolute stupidity of all of it. This felt a lot like that. So that was it was a very, very bad look. Democrats knew it was a bad look, by the way, because they immediately launched into Trump for visiting the memorial service. Here's former Representative Joe Crowley, the guy who was ousted by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in her district. Here he is just talking about Trump exploiting tragedy. Well, I mean, he's acknowledging a tragedy. Joe Biden is the one ignoring the tragedy.
The notion or idea that Donald Trump cares at all for this officer or this officer's family is outrageous. He has not an ounce of sympathy in his body. It is hypocritical. I think people look at it as hypocritical, that he's using this grieving family for political purposes, for a political rally. It's outrageous. Where was that same empathy for the families of police officers and others who passed away as a result of the 1-6 attack? It didn't exist. He doesn't care about anyone but himself. And New Yorkers are sophisticated enough to know that. I hope America is more sophisticated to understand he is exploiting a grieving family.
Okay, well, he's acknowledging the grieving family. Joe Biden is busily hanging out with Barack Obama and Stephen Colbert. That's what was going on in New York City last night. Karine Jean-Pierre was so puzzled by all of this that she tried to blame the crime surge that's been happening in some of America's major cities on Donald Trump.
Surge under the previous administration, which repeatedly attempted to cut the COPS program, all of their budgets targeted that key funding for the police, and congressional Republicans just proposed doing it again. So this is a president, this is a Biden-Harris administration, have done the polar opposite, taking decisive action from the very beginning to fund the police and achieving a historic reduction in crime under his leadership.
So that is not going to hunt. That dog is not going to hunt. Democrats, again, are disconnected from the vast majority of the American people on issues like, for example, crime. They also happen to have another problem, which is not the disconnection with the normal American. It is the connection with the radical progressive base. I've been talking about this. I'm not going to stop talking about it because it is going to lose Joe Biden the election. His attempt to swivel all the way to the left to get low propensity progressive young voters to the polls in outsized numbers, it is not going to be successful. The more he attempts to feed the alligator, the more the alligator demands of him. So last night, outside and apparently inside the event with Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, both outside and inside, pro-Hamas protesters descended upon the event. Here is some of the video of what was going on outside the event. See a fairly large crowd of protesters outside. My favorite is the trans flag right above the right below the Palestinian flag. That is definitely a coalition that is odd, as we pointed out elsewhere. But, of course, that coalition is built on hatred for the West. It's built on anti-Americanism, which presumably is why Down with the USA was actively being chanted outside the event for Joe Biden yesterday.
Down with the USA! Down with the USA! Down with the USA! Netanyahu, you will pay!
Okay, so, again, these are the people that Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Bill Clinton, they're all pandering to these people. In fact, one of the protesters was questioned by Fox. Here's what one of the protesters had to say.
What are you here protesting about?
I hate old white men.
I'm protesting the American empire.
The American government is funding a genocide with our tax money.
I'm protesting the American government. Simple as that.
Why are you mad at Joe Biden?
Joe Biden is an old white man.
He's a clown.
He's supporting Israel against Palestine. That's what we're angry about.
Okay, so these are all crazy people. They're all crazy people with evil beliefs about the United States. They are. And Joe Biden is pandering to these people. Let's be clear. When it comes to the Israel-Palestinian conflict, we've said this over and over and over, and this is the fact of the matter. The Palestinians have failed to build a functional government or society for literally decades. Gaza was handed over to the Palestinians in 2005. They promptly elected Hamas. Hamas promptly turned it into the most large functioning terror base in the world, replete with hundreds of kilometers of tunnels, with tens of thousands of rockets. And then they proceeded to launch a would-be genocidal attack against every Jew across the Gaza border. And then they got their asses handed to them. That's effectively what is going on in the Middle East right now. How evil is Hamas? Well, yesterday, Israel released some tape. There are all these. The online space is truly toxic. But Israel released in the sense that they're constantly doubting obvious evils, like the fact that Hamas are a bunch of murderers and rapists. Some of the worst people on earth. Israel yesterday released some tape of one of the Hamas terrorists admitting that on October 7th he participated in rape. The interrogator says, so you entered the house and then you saw her in the room and what did you do? He says, the devil took me over. I laid her down, started undressing her and did what I did. And the interrogator says, what did you do? He said, I had sex with her. He said, you didn't sleep with her. Sleep is to sleep. What did you do? He said, I raped her. And there's widespread evidence of rape, sexual abuse that happened during October 7th, putting aside the murder of everybody up to and including small children. Deliberate murder, not collateral damage that happens in war, deliberate murder. And yet somehow this is considered an issue that is worthy of massive protest by the far left. And Joe Biden and company are still catering to these people. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Already coming up, there are two big problems, actually, with the Joe Biden big event in New York City. One is the elitism and the glitz. The other is the radical protesters to whom Joe Biden is bowing. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, pro-Hamas protesters gathered outside of Joe Biden's big campaign event last night to demonstrate that really they are the captain now. So apparently the discussion last night with Biden and Clinton and Obama was interrupted at least five times by protesters, according to NBC News. Colbert acknowledged one protester and asked Biden about the U.S. role in ensuring a peaceful and prosperous future for both Israelis and Palestinians. Biden said more needed to be done to get relief into Gaza, but added that Israel's very existence was at stake. And then he said there has to be a train for a two-state solution. It doesn't have to carry today. There has to be a progression. I think we can do that. Again, this is the only time I can imagine a mass terror attack met with a massive hegemonic world power suggesting that those who favor the terrorists ought to be given a fully functioning state. That's an amazing statement. That response was met with a standing ovation. Then there was another protester. And then Barack Obama jumped in. And he said, part of democracy is not just talking, it's listening. That's what the other side does. And it's important for us to understand it's possible to have moral clarity and have deeply held beliefs, but still recognize the world is complicated and it's hard to solve these problems. Now, the real question is, why Democrats keep catering to these people? Why do Democrats keep catering to the most radical conspiracy theorists on the side? And that's what this is. If you wonder why the elevation of this particular theory about Palestinians and Gaza and Hamas, above all else, why is it that this has become the point of the spear for the progressive movement? We talked about this a little bit yesterday. It's a weird thing. There are lots of issues that you would imagine progressives on campus would be very exercised about. You know, 3-4 years ago, it was systemic racism in policing, supposedly. And before that, it was gay rights. But right now, it's the Gaza Strip. Why? Why is it Hamas that they're attempting to save? And the answer is because the victimhood mentality has pervaded the society so widely that the best way that you can show your fealty to a basic belief system, which is that the failures of individual human beings and groups are related to their victimhood at the hands of another group. The best way that you can show fealty to that perverse idea, and it's a conspiracy theory, is to find literally the worst people on earth who are the most unsuccessful and who are claiming victimhood and then say they're right. That is the way that you can show fealty to the idea. Just like any cult. Any cult requires you to go through a series of steps to show what they call skin in the game. This is why if you're joining a sex cult, they make you get a tattoo, for example. You have to do the most extreme thing in order to show that you have fealty to the idea. So if you want to show fealty to a basic political idea, which is that individuals and groups fail, not because they are failures, not because they have made terrible, terrible decisions, not because they are betraying their own sense of aspirational purpose, but instead they are failing because of the evil system that surrounds them. In order for you to show your fealty to that idea, you have to find the most obvious case of a group of people who have blown every opportunity and acted in the most evil ways and still claim that even those people are victims of the society around them. You have to find Hamas, rapists and murderers, and their sympathizers in the civilian population who spent 20 years allowing Hamas to run roughshod through their area and govern them, and who still, by polling data, favor October 7th and Hamas. You have to find those people, and you have to say those people, too, are victims. And I will show you how strongly I believe they're victims. Why? Why does that matter? Because, again, that is the tattoo. It's the NXM tattoo. It is the way of demonstrating fealty to the victimhood cult. And that victimhood cult is deeply involved. This is a conspiracy theory. Understand, this is a broad-writ conspiracy theory. Now, I'm going to talk about the rise of conspiracy theories on all sides. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I want to talk about this more at length because the conspiratorial victimhood cult now infuses pretty much every side of the political aisle. I wish it were restricted to the far progressive left. It is not. It has now pervaded pretty much every area of American political life. Every politician declares that you, everyone, is a member of a victim group. Victimhood politics all the way down. The only question is, who is the conspiratorial force and who is the victim? But everyone is under the bizarre belief that they are being victimized in the freest society in human history. Now, that doesn't mean that conspiracies don't exist. It doesn't mean that there aren't people who do victimize other people. All of that's true. But when I talk about the conspiracy theory of society, I'm referring to the idea that without any real specification as to who comprises the conspiracy, how it works, what are the actual evidentiary proofs that it's happening, you can simply suggest that your own victimhood, your own failures, are the result of you being a victim. And again, this is a pervasive sense that has encroached upon the entire body politic. It is enervating and it's un-American. The American dream is the idea that you are not a victim. In fact, no matter how terrible your history, no matter how much you were a victim, you can still rise. That's the American dream. The American dream is formerly enslaved people in the United States rising into the middle class, and then into wealth, building families, building churches. That's the American dream. The American dream is poor commoners in Europe coming to the United States, forging and surging forth across the continent, and building themselves up into successful people. That's the American dream, not them sitting around and talking about how societal forces are so militarized against them. The American dream is people like my great-great-grandparents coming in 1907 and showing up with nothing, not knowing the language, and not considering themselves victims of the government or of the surrounding society, but treating all obstacles as barriers to be overcome rather than insuperable obstacles that bar them from success. That's the American dream. When we say the American dream is dead, I think that what most people mean is that there are now obstacles to the American dream that prevent them from achieving their aspirations. But if the American dream is dying, it's because we have ceased to dream. It's because people have decided that the dream itself is stupid, that the reason that they are failing is not because of their own failures. They're failing because the society around them is failing. That's incredibly dangerous. It's an incredibly dangerous idea, and it does, in fact, kill the American dream. There's nothing new particularly about these sorts of conspiracy theories. There's a famous philosopher named Karl Popper. He wrote an amazing book called The Open Society and Its Enemies, big bestseller back in the 1940s. He's most famous as an empiricist. His basic theory is that you can't prove theories true as much as you can falsify them. Right? That through falsification, we can sort of by process of elimination tell what's false, and then what remains is what's true. That was Karl Popper's basic theory when it came to scientific knowledge. He opposed what he called inductive reasoning, that you reason to a point from the prior evidence. Instead, he said you have tests, and you test the theory over and over and over. Empirical testing of theories. Okay, but he wrote in this book, The Open Society and Its Enemies, about what he called the conspiracy theory of society. And here's what he wrote. He said the conspiracy theory of society is, quote, the view that an explanation of a social phenomenon consists in the discovery of the men or groups who are interested in the occurrence of this phenomenon, sometimes to hidden interest which has to first be revealed, and who have planned and conspired to bring it about. So what he says is most of the societal forces that are around us are evolutionarily created. That when there's a problem in society, usually that has been built up over the course of generations gradually and very often not on purpose. That the unintended consequences of human action typically are the things that build up systems. It's usually not some group of men in a room somewhere who are figuring out how all the levers of society work. Why does that make a difference? Because once you start attributing everything around you to a conspiratorial group of people in the back room who are trying to figure out how to screw you, things get very ugly very quickly. Alrighty, coming up, more on the origins of conspiracy theorism is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, exhibitor demonstrations. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $8 admission, 6 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday we honor our veterans with our free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Elwood Ranch, Pedigo Reading, Bridgeford, Garage Force, Crown Motors, and California Customs. See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hello, this is Rollin from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact, B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3470. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
If the
the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
And gold.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So I want to talk more about conspiracy theories, why they become so prevalent in American life. He says this view, this conspiratorial view of society, arises, quote, from the mistaken theory that whatever happens in society, especially happening such as war, unemployment, poverty, shortages, which people as a rule dislike, is the result of direct design by some powerful individuals and groups. This theory is widely held. In its modern forms, it is a typical result of the secularization of a religious superstition. The belief in the Homeric gods, whose conspiracies explain the history of the Trojan War, is gone. The gods are abandoned, but their place is filled by powerful men or groups, sinister pressure groups, whose wickedness is responsible for all the evils we suffer from, such as the learned elders of Zion, or the monopolists, or the capitalists, or the imperialists. And so what he's pointing out here is that if you go back to pagan cultures basically suggested that all the ills that you were suffering were the result of a series of gods who were conspiring against you. And when you read the Iliad, this is what you see. See, people who are making independent human decisions, but those decisions are constantly thwarted by a group of people in the sky, and I call it a conspiracy theory, who are figuring out how your life actually is supposed to work. Monotheistic religion, on the other hand, actually fights against conspiracy theories. Why? Because monotheistic religion says there is one God, and that one God is in charge of the universe, and that one God created a good universe. That God is good, his universe is good. And that means that if you are suffering a problem, the first place you should look is not to the gods or to the universe. The first place you should look is to you. That's what the Bible is predominantly about. Adam is placed in the Garden of Eden. It is a Garden of Eden. It is an amazing place. And he is placed there to cultivate the garden. And it is his failures that lead to his banishment from the Garden of Eden. Not God's evil, not the gods conspiring against Adam. Adam's own failures lead to him being expelled from the Garden of Eden. It's why the stories of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel are literally the most important stories in human history. Because those particular stories explain all of human history. Because what do human beings do once they are expelled from the Garden of Eden? They start blaming conspiracy theories. Cain looks at Abel, and he says, it's not fair that Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, but mine was not. Must be some sort of unfair thing happening, and he kills Abel. Even though God explicitly warns him, maybe you should look at your own actions. Sin crouches at your door. Instead, you might want to look internally and try to figure it out. And actually, the lesson of Cain and Abel is that Cain eventually does that. He repents, and then he goes and builds cities. But that is what monotheistic religion did. Monotheistic religion said, God is good. The universe he created is good. If there is a problem in your life, there's like a 98% shot that you should do something about it. Doesn't mean there aren't problems that are created by other people. And we should all find those problems created by other people. And we should fight those problems created by people. But there has to be evidence. We have to find pathways of fixing those problems. But if there's something going wrong in your life, the first place you should look, before you look to quote-unquote vague systems, before you go ghost hunting, you should look at you. Then monotheistic religion declines. And in its place, you don't get pagan gods. You get a new form of paganism, which is the conspiracy theory. So here's what Popper writes. He says, I do not wish to imply that conspiracies never happen. On the contrary, they are typical social phenomena. They become important, for example, whenever people who believe in the conspiracy theory get into power. People who sincerely believe that they know how to make heaven on earth are most likely to adopt the conspiracy theory and to get involved in a counter-conspiracy against non-existing conspirators. For the only explanation of their failure to produce their heaven is the evil intention of the devil, who has a vested interest in hell. You see this on all sides of the political aisle. The only thing that stands between us and a greater world is if I can just get those group of people, and I need the power in order to do that. And the reason I need the power is because they are involved in a conspiracy against me. Give me the power, and I will fix this thing. When the reality is that the vast majority of problems are solvable in a free country like the United States, the freest country in the history of the world, the most prosperous country in the history of the world, because it is the freest country, those problems are mostly solvable at a personal level. But again, politics, instead of finding discrete problems and solving discrete problems, has become about how do we blame the society around us for our own personal failings. By the way, when it comes to monotheistic religion, The reason Marxists hate monotheistic religion is because it debunks the conspiracy theory. Marxists hate monotheistic religion. This is the reason why the communists tried to kill the church, because the idea was that a monotheistic religion says God is good, the universe is good. If you're failing, you might want to look at you. Marxism says if you're failing, it's because society created a system that makes you fail, and we need to rip down that system. This is why Marx suggested that religion was the opiate of the masses. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. So Papa writes even further. He says, what was one of the chief factors leading to the exacerbation of conspiracy theory of society? Why has this become so prevalent? He's writing this in the 40s. He says the big problem is what he called discretionary powers, designed to empower organs of the state to act within certain limits as they consider necessary for achieving the ends laid down by the rulers for the time being. So centralization of power turns into, we need to act against the conspiracy. And we can't go through any sort of predictable process. We can't go through any legalistic process because it might get thwarted. We need to solve the problem fast. And the best way to do that, more centralized power in the hands of an unanswerable few. He writes, the use of discretionary powers is liable to grow quickly once it has become an accepted method, since adjustments to discretionary short-term decisions can hardly be carried out by institutional means. You're going to have to move too fast. You can't go through, like, a legislature. You can't go through a budgetary process. You need to have an administrative state that can move quickly and needs to be able to do things at a moment's notice. And it doesn't have to make its excuses to you, because after all, there's a conspiracy afoot, and that conspiracy can only be thwarted by centralized collective power through discretionary means. He says this tendency must greatly increase the irrationality of the system, creating in many the impression that there are actually hidden powers behind the scenes, making them susceptible to the conspiracy theory of society with all of its consequences, heresy hunts, national, social, and class hostility. So you give the government a lot of power, you centralize power, and then you use that centralized power in order to push discretionary power, and then discretionary power, because it doesn't look predictable, because it doesn't look rational, that breeds more conspiracy theories, because now you actually do have small groups of people in shady rooms making decisions for all of society. And so now we are in a death spiral, a conspiracy theory death spiral that ends with the belief by the vast majority of Americans that they are now victims in the society. And once Americans believe that they are victims of societal institutions around them, and that freedom is not the answer, individual freedom is not the answer, collective power is the answer, that's the end of the American dream. It's totally dead. You can draw this out on a flowchart. I want to do this just for 1 second, because it's actually a pretty simple way to see exactly where the country is going if this doesn't stop right now. Okay, so everything starts with a problem. Okay, so the problem is real, okay? The question is it an individual problem or a collective problem? Is this a problem that you could solve on an individual level, or is this a problem that has to be solved by the mass power of the collective? The vast majority of problems in your life are solvable on an individual or local community level. That has been true for a very long time in the United States. It doesn't mean there aren't big collective problems that we need to solve together. It means that those are pretty few in number in a free country like the United States. We are not living in Tsarist Russia. Okay, so the next move that people make, a problem really is a claim of victimhood. You're being victimized by something. Sometimes that's true, sometimes that's not. The next thing that happens is that you blame that on society. Right? So instead of you internalizing the problem, trying to fix the problem, instead you blame the society. And once you blame the society, you very quickly end up, if you do not have evidence, at a conspiracy theory. Okay, now you have a conspiracy theory. There's a group of people who are stopping you from solving your problem. You blame society. You don't have an answer. So it must be a conspiracy. There must be some sort. And you're just asking questions. You don't know. Right? This is the game that is played by so many corrupt commentators. just asking questions. I don't have to show you evidence that something terrible is happening. I don't have to actually demonstrate how the thing is happening. I don't have to tell you who the problem is, wink, wink. But I can just tell you right now that there is a problem. But even and if I'm asked about it, hey, I'm just asking questions. Now, let me tell you something about just asking questions for a second. Just asking questions is a game for children. My son is 7. He can just ask questions. My daughter is 10. She can just ask questions. If you are 50 and you are just asking questions, I don't think you're just asking questions. I think that your level of curiosity is actually quite low. I think that you don't care enough to know enough to care. I think that the vast majority of people who are in the just asking questions business have an answer that they want to suggest, but they know there's no evidence for it, so instead they hide behind just asking questions. In other words, they're completely full of. So, you get to the conspiracy theory. Now, in order to solve the conspiracy theory, you need to mobilize collective power. Right? Because you have a conspiracy. The conspiracy can only be fought. It can't be fought by an individual. It has to be fought by centralization of collective power. It's the only way to do it. And then there you have a problem, as Popper says. Collective power tends to be pretty slow-moving and large and unwieldy. So then what you have to do is you have to delegate that. You have to delegate that collective power to some sort of discretionary power. You have to delegate it to the discretionary power, right? Because once you delegate it to the discretionary power, then they can handle the problem. The problem is that the discretionary power actually does look a lot like a conspiracy, because now you actually have a small group of people who have been allocated outsized power without answerability or accountability. And that group of people can now be blamed for other failings because they, in fact, will be involved in those failings. And so what you end up with is, wait for it, you've shortcutted the first couple of steps. You end up back at the conspiracy theory, and now you're in a spiral. Now you're in a never-ending spiral. More conspiracy theories requires more collective power, requires more discretionary power, which leads to more conspiracy theories, more collective power, more discretionary power, and so on. And that's how freedom dies, through the power of collective conspiracy theories. And that is where we are. There's only one way to break that chain. The one way to break that chain is to say to yourself and say to the society, stop being whiny. Stop pretending that every problem is a collective problem. If you have a problem, show the evidence of the problem so we can all solve it together. Ghost hunting is not meant to actually find the ghost. It is meant to mobilize the collective in pursuit of power. That's what's going on politically on pretty much all sides of the aisle right now. We have to break that chain. We have to go back to the individual American dream. Again, it doesn't mean there aren't conspiracies. It doesn't mean there aren't bad people trying to do bad things. But we have to be very specific about what we are targeting and very meticulous in our use of power in order to target it, or we end up in a very, very bad position. Now, in the end, who are the greatest enemies of the conspiracy theorists? The greatest enemies. The greatest enemies of the conspiracy theorists are people who actually are victimized. And who refuse victimhood status. Those are the people the conspiracy theories cannot take. They cannot take it. Because if you actually are victimized, and what you say is, I am not a victim. I, in fact, can overcome whatever obstacles are put in my way. Because this is a free society. You become the enemy. You become the enemy. This is why anti-Semitism very often ends up connected with conspiracy theory. Because, unfortunately, it is just a reality of the world that Jews have been disproportionately victimized by surrounding groups. And it is also true that Jews have been disproportionately successful. But it's not unique to Jews. It's true for middlemen Chinese in various countries in Asia. It's true right now of Southeast Asians in many areas of the United States, in impoverished areas of the United States. It's not unique to Jews. But any group or person who is disproportionately victimized and also disproportionately successful explodes the entire victimhood conspiracy theory mentality. And those people must be destroyed. And this is how you end up with supposedly tolerant and diverse people in Berkeley, California, mocking Holocaust survivors. That's how you end up with this. Here's some tape.
Because we are currently witnessing a horrendous surge in anti-Semitism. Jews are now under existential threat. The invasion by Hamas, which broke a ceasefire.
Time!
Okay. Ma'am, Mr. Witt, ladies and gentlemen, if you can please let me facilitate the meeting.
Led to the murder of 1,200 Israelis and the brutal torture and rape of women. The destruction of property.
Bye!
So,
you're not white!
Ladies and gentlemen.
Of course they have to heckle the Holocaust survivor. Of course they do. And of course they have to stand up in favor of Hamas. And of course this room is replete with signs for Black Lives Matter and gay pride. Of course. Because the conspiracy theories that believe that the West is the obstacle to your success, those conspiracy theories always end with going after people who have experienced victimhood and refuse to be the victims. Because it explodes the entire basis for their attempt at collective power. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on DailyWire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show, check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. All right, coming up, Sam Bankman-Fried, the fraudster from FTX, has now received a 25-year jail sentence. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blazengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Your vacation is over, but the worst part, the long drive home from Sacramento. Unless you chose to fly from Redding, at Redding Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home, with quick check-ins and nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. You can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hey, Redding, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
Experience for the first time glowing wild an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024. Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Sam Bankman-Fried just received a very long prison sentence. Sam Bankman-Fried. You remember that guy? He defrauded people out of literally billions of dollars. He is now going to go to jail for the next 25 years, according to the Wall Street Journal. Inmates can make ceramics or crochet at a federal prison in Lompoc, California. At a federal prison in Mendota, a few hours away, inmates have a harmonica or play basketball on one of five facility courts. Those prisons represent possible landing places for FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried, who will in coming months report to begin serving his 25-year sentence imposed Thursday by U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan in Manhattan. Kaplan recommended the one-time entrepreneur be assigned to either a low or medium security prison near where his parents live in the San Francisco Bay Area. They suggested, the judge did, that he has autism and his association with wealth that make him a target for other prisoners. So they're going to put him in a minimum or moderate security prison. He is going to stay there for the next 25 years of his life. He'll probably be 50 by the time he gets out. And, of course, a well-deserved sentence for a fraudster. This is the second biggest sentence that we have seen for this kind of fraud since Bernie Madoff got 150 years in prison and then died in prison. Bankman-Fried's sentence, of course, was based on the fact that he essentially told people to invest in FTX and then took the money from FTX and poured it into a fake Bitcoin scam while simultaneously skimming off the top. He got away with it because for a very long time, he was pretending that he was a charitable entrepreneur. He had this whole theory about how if you made more money, this meant you could give more charity, which of course is true. But it also meant that since he was passing that money around to politically connected people, he could get away with it for a very, very long time, which apparently he did. Bankman-Fried's sentence is good evidence that you should really check the financial bona fides of the places you invest rather than simply trusting people based on their virtue signaling. That is the short story of Sam Bankman-Fried. And meanwhile, the Democrats are starting to get very nervous about RFK Jr. RFK Jr. in current polling is somewhere between 6 and 10%. The question is where those polling numbers are coming from. Are those coming from Republicans who are dissatisfied with Donald Trump, or are they coming from Democrats dissatisfied with Joe Biden? James Carville believes that maybe he's drawing from Trump. That's not really what the evidence suggests at this point.
So the Bobby Kennedy thing, I actually think Bobby Kennedy might hurt Trump more than he hurts.
It's funny you say that. Well, we have one headline, Politico said, RFK is a spoiler, but for who?
Yeah. And you take a poll now, but I think there's a certain percent of people in the country that are just like, just F the whole thing.
F it all, yeah.
Take it, F it all.
Yeah.
And Biden is not going to get any of the F it all vote.
Okay, now, the reality is that RFK Jr., because of Nicole Shanahan, the person he just brought on as VP, who actually has been bankrolling a lot of his campaign, he's going to be on a lot of state ballots. And if he's on state ballots in places like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, that's going to hurt Biden. According to the Real Clear Politics polling average, Trump leads Biden by a little bit under 2 points in a two-candidate race. But in a three-candidate race, with Kennedy earning somewhere around 12% nationally, he is beating Joe Biden by 5 points, 41 to 35. He's actually leading by almost six. Not a lot of battleground polling on the three-candidate race. But the reality is that Kennedy is going to do better in a three-candidate race than, say, Jill Stein did in 2016 when her voters provided a margin of error large enough to hand the election to Trump in many of the swing states. In the Real Clear Politics polling average, Trump's lead, for example, grows from 5.2% to 6% in Arizona in a three-way, 5.2% to 7.4% in Georgia, 3-6 in Nevada, 4.4 to 6.7 in North Carolina. Only in Michigan does it seem like the addition of these other third-party candidates actually hurts Trump a little bit. This is according to Ed Kilgore, writing from the New York Intelligencer. So this is not somebody who is on the right. This is why Joy Behar is freaking out about RFK Jr. Here she was yesterday.
Why do you want to destroy the election and hand it to Trump if possible?
Yeah, but I mean,
Kennedy. His forefathers are rolling over in their graves with this. His own family is telling
But a lot of people...
And we already have one clown in the race. Do we need two of them?
Now, weirdly enough, Donald Trump is attacking RFK Jr. as a candidate. Earlier this week, he attacked him, casting him as a liberal Democrat in disguise, but he also was backing him as a spoiler against Joe Biden. He did say, I love that he is running. And he should. I mean, RFK Jr. is basically a stand-in for people who are dissatisfied with Biden but can't bring themselves to pull the trigger for Trump. And that's going to be a lot of people. Joe Biden has disappointed an enormous number of people, particularly moderates. Everybody's talking about the progressive disaffection with Joe Biden. Moderate disaffection with Joe Biden is going to be just as high, if not higher. Progressive voters are louder about it, but moderate voters are the ones who are going to make a difference in this year's election. And as I've said over and over and over and over, Joe Biden has steered away from the voters that brung him, which is usually a very bad strategy in a national election. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Crews are preparing to use the largest crane on the East Coast to help clear tons of debris from the Baltimore Bridge collapse. Officials say the initial focus will be on clearing the bow of the ship that smashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge earlier this week. The debris has been hindering efforts of crews searching for the four construction workers who remain missing and are presumed dead. Another large crane is expected to arrive on Saturday. A Russian journalist has been detained. Norman Hall has more on the story.
Authorities in Russia have detained six journalists across the country this month, including a journalist who covered the trials of Russian opposition politician Alexei Navalny for several years. Navalny died in an Arctic penal colony in February. The detentions were revealed by media freedom organization Reporters Without Borders. Antonia Favorskaya was reportedly detained and accused by Russian authorities of taking part in an extremist organization for her social media post. Two other journalists were temporarily detained after they came to meet Favorskaya in the detention center where she was being held. I'm Norman Hall.
France is asking nearly four dozen countries to supply more than 2,000 police officers to help secure the Paris Olympics.
Organizers are finalizing planning for the July 26, August 11 Games, the French capital's first in a century, while on heightened alert against potential attacks. The Interior Ministry says the request for foreign security assistance was made in January. Extras are needed for both games security and what it calls the spectator experience. Adding such assistance is a common practice for major international events. Separately, the French Defense Ministry has also asked foreign nations for small numbers of military personnel who could help with tasks including sniffer dog teams. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is paid for by AG Marketing Group. Attention timeshare owners. If you need to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, please listen to the following message. Getting out of a timeshare commitment is not easy, and it takes time. But we specialize in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares forever. Can't get the vacation dates that work for you? Maybe you felt taken advantage of or forced into the timeshare? Maybe you just can't continue to shoulder those monthly payments any longer. If you need to eliminate your timeshare commitment, then you need to take down this number. 800-796-9107. We will safely and legally get rid of your timeshare payments forever, all with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't continue to let your timeshare be a financial burden to you and your loved ones. Call us now at 800-796-9107. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-796-9107. That's 800-796-9107. Again, 800-796-9107.
The U.S. military has finished draining more than 104 million gallons of fuel from an underground fuel tank complex in Hawaii.
That fuel poisoned 6,000 people when it leaked into Pearl Harbor's drinking water in 2021. Joint Task Force Red Hill began defueling the tanks in October after completing months of repairs to an aging network of pipes to prevent the World War II-era facility from springing more leaks. The task force handed over responsibility for the tanks to Navy Closure Task Force Red Hill, which will clean up the environment and restore the aquifer underneath. John Scott report.
New York City officials announce a pilot program to deploy portable gun scanners in the subway system. Mayor Eric Adams says the scanners will be introduced in certain stations after a legally mandated 90-day waiting period. He says officials will work to identify companies with expertise in weapons detection technology. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Biden administration's push for electric vehicles hits a few speed bumps.
More than 2 years after President Biden signed the infrastructure bill into law, only four states have opened public EV charging stations funded by the legislation. The president has set a goal of creating a national network of 500,000 chargers by the end of the decade. Right now, 175,000 are available. Meanwhile, Ford Motor Company will drastically cut the number of hourly workers at its factory that builds the Ford F-150 Lightning as sales of EVs slow. Greg Clugston, Washington.
American Airlines is easing a restriction on its pet policy. For years, people with a small pet can only bring one other thing into the cabin, a small personal item that fits under the seat. Well, American says people with pets can now bring a personal item or a regular carry-on bag that fits in the overhead bin. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tom Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops that come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairers will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden is in serious electoral trouble, as every Democrat knows at this point. In the current polling average from Real Clear Politics, Donald Trump is currently leading in every swing state. Donald Trump is currently leading in the national poll averages. Joe Biden is wildly underperforming. Donald Trump is in the best polling position he has ever been in, including during the 2016 race that he actually won. And now Democrats are turning on all the alarms, and that means they're calling back in Barack Obama, as well as Bill Clinton, apparently. Both Obama and Clinton have decided that they are now going to get involved in the Biden campaign. Now, the problem is that that actually is a conflict within the Democratic Party. Bill Clinton did not govern the way that Barack Obama governed. They governed actually quite disparately. So Bill Clinton started off as a wild lefty. If you look at his governance in 1993, 1994, when he was pushing Hillary care, he governed too far to the left. And then he got clocked in the 1994 congressional elections, and then he swiveled back to the center. And that's when you got welfare reform. That's when you got balanced budgets. That's when you got moderate third way Bill Clinton, who ended up being a pretty popular president despite the Monica Lewinsky scandal by the time that he left office. On the other hand, Barack Obama. Barack Obama took precisely the reverse trajectory. He started off as a moderate. He ran in 2008 as a slightly left-leaning Republican. He suggested, for example, that he was against same-sex marriage. He talked a lot about American opportunity, about how he, in his very personage, was the embodiment of the American dream, how anyone could get ahead, how there were no red states, no blue states, just the United States. And then, by 2012, he had swiveled radically to the left. After he passed Obamacare in his first 2 years, just like Hillary Care was attempted in 1993, 1994, when Barack Obama passed Obamacare and the American public didn't like it and clocked him in the 2010 election, instead of swiveling back to the center the way that Bill Clinton did, he instead swiveled hard to his left. He got nothing done of major significance between 2010 and 2016. There were no major acts that he was able to pass between 2010 and 2016, as opposed to Bill Clinton, who actually cut deals with Republicans, came to some sort of conciliation with people he hated, like Newt Gingrich. Bill Clinton swiveled back to where the American public wanted him to be. He got the message. Barack Obama did not. Both of them won re-election. Bill Clinton won re-election on the strength of swiveling back to the center, and Barack Obama won re-election on the basis of fragmenting the American body politic and then attempting to cobble together a coalition of supposed victims plus white liberal women in order to defeat a milquetoast Republican candidate in Mitt Romney. So these are two very different strategies. So when you say that Bill Clinton and Barack Obama are now in Joe Biden's ear, the question is which one Joe Biden is going to follow. If Joe Biden were to follow the strategy of Bill Clinton, he would swivel back to the center. He would, for example, be stronger on foreign policy with regard to Israel, with regard to Russia. He would, for example, stop talking about transing the children. He would, for example, close the border. He would take a bunch of actions that are right within the immediate domain of his presidency, and he would start to swivel to the center, and he'd go after moderates and independents. If, however, he were to follow Barack Obama, he would double down on the far left crazy, and he would continue to cater to the most radical members of his base. Now, one thing that has happened in the Democratic Party is obviously Bill Clinton is no longer viewed with the same sort of magic with which he was once viewed. If you go back to the mid-2000s, Bill Clinton was the model Democrat. Bill Clinton was the guy they all looked up to because he was the last Democratic president. But then Barack Obama came along, and his star power just outweighed Clinton's by miles. Suddenly, Barack Obama was the model Democratic president, a historically amazing figure, despite the fact that he had a historically bad presidency. Bill Clinton was relegated to second-tier status. And so it seems quite likely that Joe Biden, despite the fact that Joe Biden is much more like Bill Clinton in terms of his own personal political inclinations, he tends to follow wherever the wind blows, whereas Barack Obama is a true believer, left-wing Democrat. Because Joe Biden believes in the magic of Barack Obama, after all, it was Barack Obama who made him president by making him vice president. Because of that, it is very likely that Joe Biden is going to follow Barack Obama down that primrose path. There's only one problem. Everybody who has tried to replicate the Barack Obama model loses. Barack Obama is one of one. Bill Clinton is not one of one. Bill Clinton is a fairly traditional Democratic Southern politician who is capable of shifting and moving his policies based on what the American people wanted. Barack Obama was a uniquely charismatic figure with a unique draw for specific segments of the voting population. That is not replicable. Bill Clinton is replicable. So in other words, if Joe Biden follows Barack Obama, he's a fool. If he follows Bill Clinton, that would be quite smart. If he follows James Carville, that would be smart. If instead he decides that he is going to follow his left-wing advisors who worked for Bernie Sanders, he's being an idiot. According to the New York Times, however, Barack Obama is now in Joe Biden's ear all the time. Quote, as the election approaches, President Biden is making regular calls to former President Barack Obama to catch up on the race or to talk about family. But Mr. Obama is making calls of his own to Jeffrey Zients, the White House chief of staff, and to top aides of the Biden campaign to strategize and relay advice. So it's not even, by the way, that Barack Obama is calling Joe Biden and getting Biden to shift strategy. Barack Obama is actively taking control of Joe Biden's campaign. Barack Obama, by the way, at one point actually said this is what he wanted. Barack Obama literally went on national TV, and when asked if he would ever consider running again if there had been no constitutional provision against it, he said, what I'd love best is to basically run a presidency without actually being president. Well, the easiest way to do that is to staff up the Biden administration with all your friends and family members and then call them up behind the scenes and tell them exactly what to do. Apparently, that is exactly what Barack Obama is doing right now. Barack Obama is the most dangerous political figure in American politics of my lifetime because he was able to masquerade as a moderate unifier while actually being a deeply divisive, racially divisive figure by 2012. As the New York Times says, this level of engagement illustrates Mr. Obama's support for Mr. Biden, but also what one of his senior aides characterized as Mr. Obama's grave concern that Biden could lose to former President Trump. The aide, who is not authorized to speak publicly, said that Obama has always been worried about a Biden loss. And so, the aide added, he is prepared to eke it out alongside his former vice president in an election that could come down to slim margins in a handful of states. Perhaps for the first time, according to the New York Times, the two are on the same page about Biden's future and a sign of things to come. They are to appear together with former President Bill Clinton at a major fundraiser for the Biden campaign at Radio City Music Hall in New York on Thursday. Now, again, who Biden appears with is really not particularly important. Political popularity is non-transferable. If Donald Trump stands next to an unpopular Republican in a particular state, it does not mean that that unpopular Republican is now going to win, because Trump's popularity is not automatically transferable to that unpopular Republican. If Barack Obama stands next to Joe Biden, it's not like black voters are suddenly going to go, oh, my God, now I love Joe Biden. That's not the way any of that works. The real question, again, is which strategy Joe Biden is going to follow, the Barack Obama strategy or the Bill Clinton strategy? Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday was asked about Obama and Clinton campaigning with Biden and how much weakness that shows, which, of course, is obvious. If you have to find the last two Democratic presidents to campaign alongside you and hold up your arms like Moses in the battle with Amalek, then you got a problem on your hands. Joe Biden is not capable of winning this election on his own. He's got to call in the other guys who, by the way, are still younger than he is.
President Obama and President Clinton strongly support President Biden's leadership and obviously his agenda. All three have agree overwhelmingly on the issues that this president has been fighting for the past 3 years.
I mean, they may agree on the issues, but they certainly do not agree when it comes to their various approaches. And that is the problem. So, again, Joe Biden has that choice. Does he pander to his radical wing, or does he move toward his moderate wing? He continues to evidence that he wishes to pander to his radical wing, which is a very, very bad decision. So, for example, this was 2 days ago. He's giving a speech. And the pro-Hamas protesters are doing what they usually do. They show up at his speeches and start screaming at him in bat-bleep loony voices about how he needs to support Hamas and stop Israel from finishing off Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And instead of Joe Biden either ignoring them or saying, you're immature and you don't know what you're talking about, which is true, instead he starts to pander to them, which again, this is the sign of a campaign in full-scale desperation. Because these quote-unquote young progressive voters are incredibly low-propensity voters. Many of them will not show up to vote. And when you decide that you're going to reach out to those people at the expense of the broad swath of the American public that supports Israel as opposed to protesters like this, you are making a category error. This is very foolish. But here's Joe Biden doing it.
Just think back before the ACA. A patient with a heart disease, diabetes, or a child with asthma couldn't get coverage. Why? Because the insurance company considered those a pre-existing condition. Allowed them to deny coverage.
What about
everybody
the health care in Gaza?
Deserves health care.
Everybody deserves health care in Gaza. Here's some crazies. Now they're being ushered out of the rooms. They scream like crazy people.
Be patient with them.
Shrieking like banshees. Be patient with them.
They have a point. We need to get a lot more care into the Gaza.
They have a point. And then you get the progressive base cheering him. We need to get a lot more care into Gaza. Again, why is he elevating that issue? By every poll, Americans actually, they have feelings about what's going on between Israel and Gaza. But by virtually every poll, this is not even remotely a top priority for Americans. It's not like for Democrats, it's not a top priority. For independents, it's not a top priority. For Republicans, it's not a top priority. This is a foreign conflict that involves zero American troops. Involves less American military and financial involvement than what's going on in Ukraine right now. But Biden has elevated that issue specifically in order to appeal to the progressive base, which is a dumb political move because the progressive base does not like him. Many of them are not going to show up to vote anyway. Plus, they're crazy, and it's morally wrong. How crazy is the progressive base? Well, the crazy progressive base story of the day comes courtesy of Vanderbilt University. Now, I do have to point out here that there is something unique that is going on the progressive left. The issue of what's going on with the Palestinians and Hamas has become the issue. I mentioned before the total insanity and the danger to the West in the quote-unquote Queers for Palestine movement, the far left that is in favor of a genocidal terror group in Hamas that seeks to wipe every Jew off the planet, has committed vast acts of sexual abuse, kills gay people, and wishes to impose Sharia law. And you say to yourself, as a rational person, why would they do that? That supposedly disagrees with all of their sentiments. And the reason they do this is because they literally hate the entire Western system. And so they are allied with anyone else who hates the Western system. And it's an alliance of convenience. It is an alliance of ideological convenience. Anyone who hates the Western systems, Western meritocracies, Western traditional values, anybody who hates those things, they are in favor of. And the worse those people are, the more they are in favor of those people. And this is why what's going on between Israel and Gaza, between Israel and Hamas, more specifically, why that has become such a litmus test for the far left. Because they are willing to tolerate literally the worst people on the planet. They're willing to back and support literally the worst people on the planet who would kill them if they had a chance. They're willing to support those people because it shows fealty. It's skin in the game. It seems crazy, but the crazier it is, the more fealty you are showing to the movement that wishes to destroy the West. If you are truly in favor of a mission to destroy the West, and you believe Western values are really bad, and you believe America is really bad, and a nefarious force on the world stage, then the reason that you're allying with specifically these people is because they are the worst. Not in spite of the fact they're the worst, because they are the worst. For a lot of these folks, it's like joining a cult. You have to do the craziest thing possible to show fealty to the cult. Well, the craziest thing possible is to support Hamas in this particular battle. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first, I've been talking about my Helix mattress for years. I've had my Helix for, I don't know, almost a decade, and it is fantastic. It is the gift that keeps on giving. It may be the only thing keeping me upright at this point is the sleep I get on my Helix sleep mattress. Helix is now introducing their newest, most high-end collection, the Helix Elite. Helix Elite harnesses years of extensive mattress expertise to offer a truly elevated sleep experience. That Helix Elite collection includes six different mattress models, each tailored for specific sleep positions and firmness preferences. Head on over to helixsleep.com/ben. Check out the new collection today. If you're nervous about buying a mattress online, you don't have to be, because Helix has a sleep quiz that matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Because why would you buy a mattress made for somebody else? And I took that Helix quiz that matched me with a firm but breathable mattress, which is exactly what I need. Why don't you get a mattress made for you? Go to helixsleep.com/ben. Take that 2-minute sleep quiz. Find the perfect mattress for your own body and sleep type. The mattress will come directly to your door for free. Plus, Helix has a 10-year warranty. Try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Got nothing to lose. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders, plus two free pillows for my listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/ben. Use code HELIXPARTNER20 This is their best offer yet. It's not going to last long. Again, that's HelixPartner20 at helixsleep.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, let's talk about how crazy these left-wing youngsters are. This is Ben Shapiro Show.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey, Redding, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's hard to come up with sort of an apex example of left-wing progressive youth stupidity, but I think we found it. Over at Vanderbilt University, a bunch of undergrad students whose parents should be ashamed of themselves, they've done a horrible job parenting, and yes, blame the parents. You're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old people who are complete dolts, who have no moral center whatsoever. Well, a wave of undergrad students rushed Kirkland Hall, which is where the Vanderbilt Chancellor's Office is located, according to Susie Weiss writing for the Free Press. And they began a sit-in, a response to the college administration shutting down a student government vote over whether the school should divest funds from Israel. These protesters stick around for 25 and a half hours, and then police started removing and arresting some of the students for trespass. So the craziest moment here comes courtesy of one of these students who literally called 911. Why did the student call 911? Because a friend of the student, who was part of the sit-in, had to change her tampon. I'm not kidding. Specifically, she was, quote, being denied the right to change her tampon that has been in for multiple hours, which leads to an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome. And the 911 operator was like, ma'am, do you have an emergency? And the student said they wanted medical assistance. And the 911 operator was like, well, I mean, do you need an ambulance? And the student is like, well, no, we don't need an ambulance. We need a tampon. So you went to a protest and you didn't bring a pad. You brought a tampon. And now this is a 911 call because you're all fragile snowflake morons with perverse senses of morality. And somehow the First Amendment owes you a tampon because you were too stupid to bring a replacement. In another one of the videos, one of the protesters approaches the police and the administrator, demanding to know what will happen to her friend should she leave the sit-in to change the tampon in question. And the officers say that she won't be arrested if she leaves the building. But this protester is like, but then will be she arrested? Will she be arrested ever? She doesn't feel safe. Here is this protester.
Like a serious situation. I need to know there's someone here who's going to go into like toxic shock.
And we will take care, but we're going to escort them out.
Okay, hold on. She leaves the building, and then what happens?
If we leave the building, right, let's take her back to her room and get food. And that's all I can tell you right now, right? Get food, get
drink. I need to know what is going to happen when she leaves the building.
She's not going to be arrested if she leaves the building.
100%.
Right. So we will not be arrested as soon as we leave the building.
No, you're not going to be arrested as soon as you leave the building, right? If you want to go back and get, I don't know. If I knew, I would tell you.
Why don't
you? Because I don't know.
Okay, who the hell can we call?
So who knows?
Right. Well, I don't know yet. All I know is, if this makes a medical situation, let's get them the medical attention they need. Let's get her to her room, right? And I'm telling you, when you go out the room, you're not going to be arrested for leaving the building.
She does not know a thing. You have verified nothing for her. All you said
is verified nothing. They're yelling at this guy for no reason.
That's not what I said.
No,
that is not what I said.
You said she cannot stay in her room. You didn't say she could stay in her room, though.
These cowering, pathetic administrators and the cops who are standing there, the rent-a-cops who are standing there, they should arrest these people for trespass now. They're violating the rules of Vanderbilt. And instead, they're catering to them. And this is the entire older generation of Democrats right now. They have decided to cater to the whims of a group of childish idiots. This is what they've decided to do. Joe Biden is doing this at the presidential level. College administrators are doing this at the college level. A bunch of weak-minded dolts are being led by another bunch of weak-minded dolts who happen to also be young people who believe whatever they see on TikTok. Joe Biden, remember, was supposed to be the adult in the room. The people of Vandy are supposed to be the adults in the room. Where are the adults in the room? Why don't you be an adult for a damn change? But instead, you're going to cater to these people in the hopes of winning their votes. That is the way a country dies. It really is quite pathetic. So again, Joe Biden has a choice. He could be the adult in the room. Again, to go back to the Bill Clinton versus Barack Obama model, in 1992, Bill Clinton is running for president. And there is a speaker named Sister Soldier. And Sister Soldier says some truly racist things about white people. And Bill Clinton, running for president, has what they call a Sister Soldier moment. Right? It's literally named after this moment when he calls out what she is doing and it says she is being racist. And this was considered an act of bravery because he was saying that, yes, it is possible for a black radical to actually be racist against white people and you shouldn't use the kind of language she's using. And this is a big win for him in the Democratic primaries and in the general election in 1992. No Democrat will do that now. Now they would all cater to Sister Soldier. Now they would decide that Sister Soldier is right, that actually she has some important things to say, as Joe Biden said. Or maybe we have to send some administrators down to massage her shoulders the way they did at Vanderbilt University. When you cater to crazy people, you end up with a crazier country. And I hope an electoral loss. You deserve to lose if you decide to cater to the crazy. That's true on every side of the political aisle. All the American people want is some semblance of normalcy. That's all they want. They're begging for it. We're begging for it. Some semblance of just being an adult with a normal set of values. That would be amazing from anyone at any time. And instead, we have just decided that we're going to elevate crazy on pretty much every side of the political aisle. And it's totally wild. It's insane. We're tearing ourselves apart by elevating crazy. Now, I think there's a reason why we are elevating crazy to this extent in the end. And I think the real reason why we're elevating crazy across the aisle is because we don't have a centralizing set of values. It used to be that the older generation would say to the younger generation, guys, you're morons. You don't know what you're talking about. Let me give you some time-tested wisdom. As Thomas Sowell has talked about in the realm of economics, but it's true across all branches of knowledge, there are a few ways that you gather data that is useful in your life. Way one is you do controlled studies. But even controlled studies are not going to be as good as time-tested wisdom used over the course of centuries. This is why it is very important to transmit culture and rules and values to your kids. This is why religion has traditionally been an extremely useful preserve of actually maintaining cultural and systemic health. Because when I teach my kids the rules and I say that God says you should do X, Y, and Z, I'm not just saying that God says you should do X, Y, and Z because I read the Bible this morning. I'm saying that God says do X, Y, and Z because I have a transmitted history of cultural utility that is thousands of years long, that these rules have worked over the course of thousands of years, and I'm transmitting it to you. And the proof of the godliness of the rules on a utilitarian level is that they work. The rules are useful, and thus it's pretty good proof that if God said them, he was right. And even on a utilitarian level, if God didn't say them, he was still right, is sort of the idea. But as religion has declined, as people are afraid, as parents are afraid of inculcating values in their kids, you got a problem. All right, coming up, we'll get into why liberalism seems to be failing. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Your vacation is over, but the worst part, the long drive home from Sacramento. Unless you chose to fly from Redding, at Redding Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home, with quick check-ins and nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. You can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
Hello, this is Roland from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind-rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
This is Carl on the Dubot. We wanted to take this opportunity to wish all of our friends and our audience a very happy Easter.
Easter is meant to be a symbol of hope, renewal, and life. The very first Easter taught us this, that life never ends and love never dies.
Take this time to reflect on family and friends and what this date really means.
Happy Easter from all of the family here on KCNR.
Original Butcher. Original Butcher.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So one of the critiques of liberalism is from a conservative perspective that liberalism, meaning let a thousand flowers bloom, can easily turn into moral relativism. There are some critiques that have been made of classical liberalism along these lines, and those critiques are somewhat well-founded. There are a lot of people, conservatives, who are out there saying that classical liberalism, which suggests freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all these sorts of ideas, that the problem with that is that it can lead quickly to moral relativism if there is no centralizing, coherent set of values we all share. That's true. Liberalism can lead to moral relativism. The idea, let a thousand flowers bloom, is fine as long as the flowers are within a certain set of parameters. If you are basically saying that all views are equivalent, and that is why liberalism is important, that's wrong. Not all views are the same, and not all views are good. There are certainly many, very many bad views. The rationale for liberalism is as a restriction on tyrants. That's what liberalism is for. Liberalism is a response to people who would shut down valuable speech. That's what liberalism is for. But the roots of classical liberalism lie in a shared tradition of virtue. That's true for any set of freedoms. Any set of freedoms has to exist within a set of broader rules. Think about any game that you're playing. If you're playing chess, you have the freedom to make any move that is within the rules on the board. If you just upturn the chessboard, that is not liberalism anymore. Now what you have done is you have taken the freedoms and you have extended them into a realm that defeats the freedoms and destroys the freedoms. There has to be a shared set of rules and parameters in order for any of this to uphold. Okay, well, what has happened in our culture is that religion and religious values, Judeo-Christian, biblical values, these used to be the shared basis for our culture. And then we could share a lot of freedom within those broad parameters. But as Judeo-Christian values have devolved, as they've fallen apart, as fewer people go to church, as fewer people go to synagogue, as fewer people go to a church or synagogue that actually teaches the Bible, and there's still people who are going to church or synagogue, and the synagogues and churches are just teaching the church of Karl Marx or the church of John Dewey or the church of FDR or the church of Barack Obama or the church of Joe Biden, as that has happened, religion has declined. And as that happens, you let in the crazies. Because once there's no shared set of parameters, then any conspiracy theory at all gets through the door. I was thinking about this a lot this week in the context of what's going on with just – it seems like every conspiracy theory is now being given a hearing. And the only reason that conspiracy theories end up gaining a lot of traction is when there is institutional distrust. And that institutional distrust has certainly been earned by, for example, the legacy media or the scientific community, which promotes absolute lies on a fairly regular basis because they have a set of values and narratives that override the facts. And when you have the entire scientific community declaring, for example, that boys can be girls and girls can be boys, obviously institutional distrust is going to set in. And the converse of that is that people aren't going to trust anything that you have to say. When the government, it turns out, is incompetent at many, many things and also involves itself in your life in many, many things, you're going to have institutional distrust for the government, and anything the government says, you are now not going to believe. The big check on this used to be godly values. It used to be church. It used to be going out and touching grass, being with some real people and discussing what's rational and true. But as sources of truth decline, and the biggest source of truth of all, of course, is religion, as those sources of truth and values decline, what fills the gap is the necessity to explain the world around you. People want to explain the world around them. And they have a bunch of tools, historically, that they've used to explain the world around them. One of those tools, the most important tool, is the tool of biblical religion in the West. The tool of the idea that there is a God who stands above the creation of the universe, and there is a logic to his universe, and there is a set of moral rules that guide you through that universe. Right? That is the basic religious principle of all biblical living. As that declines, people see a disconnected set of events, and they immediately search for some sort of explanation for that disconnected set of events. Many people find that in slavish adherence to a political party. Okay, there's a political narrative, and that political narrative is now going to be framed onto reality to explain everything. We'll have a monocausal explanation of everything. This is what leftism is. And Marxism suggests, for example, that there's a monocausal explanation of everything and its class conflict. You want to understand why this girl is acting all weird at Vandy? It must be because of class conflict. Really underneath, it's a reflection of the deprivations of capitalism. And then you have right-wing explanations that are similarly all-encompassing, that anything bad that's happening in the world must be the result of a cadre of evil elites who are sitting there and planning everything out. That would be sort of the far-right equivalent. This is why conspiracy theories thrive, because when institutional trust declines, and when biblical values, which was the ultimate explanation for everything, when that declines, there's nothing to fill the gap except for constant conspiratorialism. And it's why there is this new push to explain everything through conspiracy. Everything. Everything is a conspiracy. Because the world's a puzzling place, and you need an explanation. And the easy explanation is to make one up in your own head about how there is a group of people in a back room somewhere who are manipulating all the systems. It can't just be that life is totally chaotic and that there are a lot of people who are morons out there doing stupid crap. It can't be that. It has to be that there is actually something deep and nefarious going on. And it's every single story. Right? When there's a bridge collapse in Baltimore, you end up with the left making the claim that it has something to do with dirty fuel, and you have the right making the claim that it has something to do with DEI, and I don't know, because I don't know the facts yet. The facts are still coming out. And when the facts come out, then we'll know exactly why that happened. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at dailywire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on dailywire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show. Check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. You get weird conspiracy theories about Princess Kate. Right? Princess Kate goes missing. And it's fairly obvious that when a fairly prominent person goes missing, it's probably a health problem. And instead, you get just tons of conspiracy theories on all sides of the aisle. And then, when Princess Kate comes out and says, I just had chemotherapy for cancer, a new slate of conspiracy theories arises. According to the Washington Post, users on TikTok, X, and Facebook shared videos pointing out alleged AI breadcrumbs in her latest video, such as a ring disappearing and reappearing on Catherine's hand. Others said her hair moves unnaturally, or that the bed of daffodils in the background is suspiciously still. The tendency of our society right now to buy into nearly every conspiracy theory and to give it all a hearing without just saying, nope, that sounds stupid, is a reflection of the complete decentralization of values. Because now you'll be willing to hear pretty much anything. Is the CIA behind everything that you see and hear? Is it possible that the moon landing never happened? Is it possible that there's a cadre of sick people in perverse industries who are all working together behind the scenes because of their race or religion? Like, these kinds of conspiracy theories are arising because of the vacuum of values. That vacuum of values is almost solely due to the decline of religion. The decline of religious life in America is the single worst thing that's happened to the United States since about 1950. It continues apace today. All the institutions, the secular institutions that were supposed to fill that gap failed, because of course they were going to fail. Because no secular rationale can fill the explanation that God plays in our lives. And so what you end up with is a bunch of fools running around suggesting their own supposedly plausible explanations for what is happening. And that, again, this is why the ultimate explanation, the most self-serving conspiracy theory of all, and the one that has arisen on all sides of the political aisle, is a sense of victimization. Because when you feel that the world around you is chaotic and confused and discombobulated, when you feel that, you feel like a victim. And then you look for an explanation as to why your failures are not your own fault. And it must be because there's someone who's stopping you from succeeding. And the hardest thing to understand in the world when you are failing is that maybe it is your fault. Maybe you do need to change the things that you're doing in your life. This is true, by the way, for 90% of human problems, at least in a free West. There's certainly places in the world where tyranny abides. That is not true in the United States of America. 90% of people's problems are generally solvable by them and by the community in which they live. And this attempt by politicians always have a stake in engaging in the conspiracy theory, because the beauty of being engaged in a conspiracy theory is that the prophet is the person who promulgates it. The person who promulgates the conspiracy theory is the person that you're supposed to listen to, because they will guide you forward. They will help you. They will alleviate all your problems. If you just give them enough power, they will fight it. They will destroy the Matrix. They will destroy all the things you're seeing, and they will lead you free. It'll be like Plato's cave. They'll come back from outside the cave, and they will lead you back towards light. They never lead you towards light, by the way, because every failure can now be attributed to that same conspiracy. If they fail to lead you to, if your life does not get better, if you buy into their conspiracy theory and your life still does not get better, and you give them power and your life still does not get better, they just say that's because the conspiracy is so damned powerful, there's no way they can overcome it. This is the danger of conspiratorial thinking, and it is filling up every cup that has been left empty by God and religion and community. It's filling up all the political cups right now. It's extremely dangerous. The left-wing brand is, of course, what Joe Biden is doing right now, by suggesting that the system is rigged against a wide variety of people. But it's also happening on the right, where the suggestion is, without evidence in many cases, that the system is rigged. Here's the thing. There are situations in the United States where the system is rigged, but you can tell what they are, not because someone posits a conspiracy theory without any evidence whatsoever, just spitting out dumb conspiracy theories, but because people say it and they do it. It is not a conspiracy theory, for example, to suggest that Asians are being discriminated against on college campuses. You know how you know it? Because you can see it in the statistics and in the recruitment materials and in all of the documentation at all of the major colleges. That's not a conspiracy theory. You know what is a conspiracy theory? It is a conspiracy theory that there is a cadre of powerful people who are manipulating the music industry so as to hide their own devilish hand. That's a conspiracy theory because you don't have any evidence for it. But it helps people sleep at night. What America needs wants to get back to normal, same thing it always needed, church, community, a fact-based, rational approach to politics. That's all people need. Maybe they don't want it. Maybe it's too easy in this day and age to jump immediately to some sort of narrative that explains why you're a victim of the society in which you live, in the freest, most prosperous society in the history of humanity. But that's not going to lead you to a happy life, and it's not going to lead America to a happier place. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Already coming up, the Biden administration is trying to convince you, using the old Jedi mind trick, that the economy is actually booming. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Life is always easier when we make good decisions. Taking care of your vehicle with regular maintenance is a smart decision that will save you money. Going to Premier Oil Change for regular maintenance is another great decision and an easy way to maintain your new car warranty. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Come experience fast drive-through service with no appointment required. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And in Anderson, across from Roundtable, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión, Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
1-5.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Truly amazing to watch the Biden administration try to tell you that your feelings about the economy are just wrong. The Biden administration trying to wish cast itself to victory, so they're appealing to the far left of their own base. And then they're also trying to wish cast themselves to victory. So Janet Yellen is trying to convince Americans that they really feel good about the economy. She's using the old Jedi mind trick here. I mean, I don't know if that applies among hobbits, but here she is attempting it.
What I want Americans to see is how successful the president's agenda, which is not just a short-term agenda, but a medium and longer-term agenda that is designed to create good jobs in parts of the country that in many ways have been left behind, and making us more secure and bringing down costs for Americans.
I mean, they've been so successful. Well, there's only one problem, which is that they have not actually been all that successful. According to the Federal Reserve Governor Chris Waller, he said on Wednesday night he's in no hurry to cut interest rates after hotter inflation data in the first months of the year. So there's no rush to cut the policy rate. He said, the recent data tells me it is prudent to hold this rate at its current restrictive stance, perhaps for longer than previously thought, to help keep inflation on a sustainable trajectory toward 2%, which, of course, is correct. The fact is the Biden economy is overheated. It's been overheated by Joe Biden. He's spending too much money, and he pledges higher taxes and more spending. And by the way, again, one of the stupidities of American politics is that you're not allowed to talk about the actual issues in American politics lest you offend somebody. One of the biggest actual issues is, of course, the retirement age. I found myself in big hot water a couple of weeks ago because I said, hey, guys, the retirement age in the United States should not be 62. It should not be 65, and it should not be 67 when it comes to publicly funded retirement. Oh, no. Can't say. Every single human being who knows anything about economics or public spending understands that Social Security will go insolvent. The Biden administration has no plans on that. And if you mention any plans on that, apparently you get electrocuted. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen actually said, quote, that Biden does not have a plan. Only principles when it comes to preventing Social Security from going insolvent. No plan, only principles. So Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana told Yellen, I'll note there's already been $4.9 trillion in new taxes proposed for those making over $400,000 a year. It seems to be the go-to place, fill in the blank. We're going to tax those over $400,000 a year for whatever. Of that $4.9 trillion, none of that has been dedicated to Social Security. Cassidy asked Yellen what the tax rate would have to be on those earners to address the unfunded accrued liability for Social Security. Yellen said, I don't have that computation. And then she said, the president does not have a plan. He has principles. What exactly would those principles be? The principles are that you can't do anything with it, and you're going to kick the can down the road until Social Security goes completely bankrupt, at which point you'll slash the benefits and blame whoever's in power. That is the way this is likely going to go, and everyone knows it. Washington, D.C. has become a place where no problems get solved, including the ones created by Washington, D.C. You just kick it down the road until somebody else opens the time bomb. That's effectively where we are. Now, they're hoping, against hope, that basically the way out of this dilemma is just a massively booming American economy. And despite the fact that we are reproducing at 1.6 as opposed to the 2.1 necessary in order to even sustain a demographic curve, that this will all be fixed by AI. According to Axios, over the last 15 years, weak capital investment in rich countries has held back productivity growth. That may be about to change. The pathway to higher incomes and standards of living rests on economies finding ways to deploy their labor forces more productively. Productivity growth has been weak in the United States and Western Europe since 2008, but things look better among many emerging markets. Right now, authors from McKinsey are optimistic a confluence of factors will make the years ahead different. They say that there is new global demand and countries experiencing labor shortages, and they're hoping that AI is going to fix all the problems. Well, maybe AI fixes all the problems, or maybe AI creates a bunch of new sets of problems. I tend to be optimistic about the power of AI. I mean, it's just unbelievable what the AI can do. If you've checked ChatGPT lately, they fixed like nearly all the bugs that originally were disturbing about ChatGPT. With that said, is that going to solve the economic malaise, the lack of innovation that exists outside a peculiar strain in Silicon Valley? I really don't think so. Not when, especially, creators are being taxed into the ground to fund ongoing liabilities that we have no plan to actually solve. Meanwhile, the White House continues to futz around on things that seem like fairly easy political issues. So, obviously, the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is a bit of a shocking video, obviously. The Francis Scott Key Bridge has collapsed. The White House is now warning of a difficult path on rebuilding. It took 7 years for the bridge to be built in the first place. Unclear at this point exactly why the bridge went down, although I have a good explanation, which is that it got hit by a giant ship. That'd probably be the reason. Apparently, multiple alarms were heard from the ship's data recorder at 1:24 a.m. At 1:26, the pilot asked nearby tugboats for help. At 1:27, the pilot ordered the ship's anchor be dropped. This is all just minutes before the crash. The crash took place about 1:30 a.m., and it was because they did warn people on the bridge what was going on that there were no cars on the bridge, apparently, at the time. The administration has a pretty easy job of this, which is we'll handle whatever is coming our way. There will be supply chain disruptions. This is a terrible tragedy. It's horrible this happened, and we're going to rebuild as soon as possible. It's actually not all that hard. It actually is a place where the federal government, an interventionist federal government under Joe Biden, he could theoretically get a political win out of this. He could say, listen, I've been talking about infrastructure spending for years at this point. We need to go and rebuild this thing as fast as humanly possible, and I'm here to say that that's exactly what we're going to do. Right? Joe Biden, all he has to do is travel 1 hour to get to that bridge. He is not doing that. Karine Jean-Pierre says Joe Biden will visit Baltimore at an appropriate time, presumably when the Matlock reruns are not on.
Any update on when the president would go to Baltimore?
I don't have an update for you. Obviously, we want to do it when it is the appropriate time on the ground. We're going to continue to have conversations with, local officials on the ground to get a sense of what their needs are, but we want to make sure that we do not disrupt their efforts. You just heard from the Secretary and the Vice Admiral, this is a major, major undertaking, and so we don't want to get in the way. But you heard from the President. He wants to get there as quickly as he can.
Well, I mean, as quickly as he can, be like in a car right now, like going to the bridge. That's what he would be doing. But Joe Biden is not a problem solver. He's a problem creator, which is presumably why the Biden administration is still suing the state of Texas to prevent them from taking measures to close America's southern border. Again, we have an episode of Divided States of Biden that is up right now about the fentanyl crisis. That is, in fact, a border crisis, as I spoke to President Trump about. That is the same issue. The border, the fentanyl crisis, one and the same. Well, now, a panel of federal appellate court judges late on Tuesday continued to block Texas from arresting and jailing migrants under state immigration law SB4, keeping a hold on the measure while it weighs its legality. In a 2-1 decision, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals denied Texas's request to suspend the lower court order that found SB4 unconstitutional and in conflict with federal immigration laws. Now, again, basically the case the federal government is making is we are occupying the area on immigration. Therefore, states cannot legislate on immigration. Also, we're not going to do anything about immigration, which seems like a fundamental dereliction of duty on the part of the federal government under Joe Biden. SB4 creates state crimes for entering or reentering the state from Mexico outside an official port of entry. Those actions are already illegal under federal law. Law enforcement officials at the state, county, and local level would be authorized to stop, jail, and prosecute migrants suspected of violating these new criminal statutes. It would also allow state judges to order migrants to return to Mexico as an alternative to continuing their prosecution. The Biden administration, for its part, is suing to stop that because they like the open border, apparently. And just another indicator of how poorly thought out and run this presidency is, and how in hock to their left wing they are, because there really is no practical reason why you would not just reinstall the Remain in Mexico policy that Donald Trump had already negotiated with Mexico, or change Border Patrol policy such that if you arrive and you do not have any sort of serious asylum claim, we can't just reject you and send you back across the border. Instead, the Biden administration is facilitating illegal entry. They're leaving the border wide open to extraordinary amounts of fentanyl crossing that southern border. I know because I've been down there and I've looked at it. Their full investigation on it. That was episode one of the Divided States of Biden. You should go check out both episodes if you want to understand what's going on with fentanyl and the border. All righty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Maryland is proving to be a monumental challenge. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says four cranes will help in the recovery effort.
One of the cranes is called the Chesapeake 1000. And it can lift about 1,000 tons. But the big part, and one of the challenges, is that the Key Bridge, which sits on top of the vessel right now, that weight is somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 tons. So our team needs to cut that truss into sections in a safe, in a responsible, and in an efficient way before it can lift those pieces out of the water.
The disaster happened when a cargo ship lost power and hit the bridge. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel will return to the table for ceasefire talks with Hamas in the coming days. As part of the deal, a number of Israeli hostages could soon be released. Terror group Hamas supporters are facing backlash after interrupting a Holocaust survivor at a Berkeley City Council meeting. During the Thursday meeting, Hamas supporters yelled at council members and those who voiced support for Israel. Four of the largest school boards in the Canadian province of Ontario have launched lawsuits against TikTok, Meta, and Snapchat, alleging the social media platforms are disrupting student learning.
The lawsuits claim platforms like Facebook and Instagram are designed for compulsive use and have rewired the way children think, behave, and learn. Among the school boards suing are the Toronto District School Board, the Peel District School Board, the Toronto Catholic District School Board, and the Ottawa Carleton District School Board. They're seeking damages for disruption to student learning and the education system.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company.
Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.
Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.work and use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job postings.
Former State Department senior advisor Mary Kissel believes the Biden administration does not carry out its foreign policy from a position of strength.
You have a confused foreign policy that's being driven out of the National Security Council, but ultimately it's the president, it's the commander-in-chief. And there's no clear vision here other than a fear that somehow if we exert American power and American leadership, that's going to be provocative.
Just interviewed on Salem Radio Network. As you prepare for the upcoming eclipse, be aware of counterfeit eclipse glasses, many of them produced in China. The American Astronomical Society says real solar eclipse glasses block out almost all visible light. Chinese companies have been using the names of reputable American companies, but the fake glasses do not list the address of the real company on them. If you can see through the lens of the glasses or you can see light, the fake, You should only be able to see light when you're looking at the sun through the lens. News and analysis at townhall.com. Hundreds of surveillance cameras are being installed in Oakland, California.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says hundreds of high-tech surveillance cameras are being installed in the city of Oakland and surrounding freeways to battle crime. The 480 cameras can identify and track vehicles by license plate, type, color, and even decals and bumper stickers. The cameras will provide authorities with real-time alerts of suspect vehicles. But opponents say the technology infringes on privacy and will lead to further police abuse of already marginalized communities. But while crime has dropped in other big California cities, it has surged in Oakland, a city of roughly 400,000 across the bay from San Francisco. I'm Norman Hall.
Subaru of America is recalling over 118,000 vehicles over airbag issues. A faulty sensor can prevent airbags from deploying during a crash. Recall includes 2020 through 2022 Subaru Outback and Legacy vehicles. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, exhibitor demonstrations. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $8 admission, 6 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday we honor our veterans with our free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Elwood Ranch, Pedigo Reading, Bridgeford, Garage Force, Crown Motors, and California Customs. See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, women are being randomly assaulted by scumbags in New York City. Now city leaders are wondering why Good Samaritans aren't stepping up to defend these victims. Well, that's probably because those same leaders had the Good Samaritans thrown in prison. Also, Glenn Youngkin vetoes a bill that would have allowed the retail sale of marijuana in Virginia. This was the right call. I'll explain why. Also, one of the hens on The View calls a black guest a charlatan for saying that society should be colorblind. And in our daily cancellation, Governor Greg Abbott signs an executive order calling for punishment of anti-Semitic rhetoric on college campuses. I'll explain why that is a horrible, not to mention un-American idea. All of that and more today on The Matt Walsh Show. One of the big milestones in a child's development is when he learns the principle of cause and effect. And if you're a parent, you probably know that this typically happens at around 8 months. So, for example, a child might splash his hands in water and realize that as a result of that decision, he now has water all over his face. And then based on that result, he might decide to continue splashing water or to stop doing it, depending on how entertaining he finds the idea of splashing water everywhere. Now, this is not exactly higher order thinking. You know, you don't get to put a gifted and talented bumper sticker on your car when this happens. It comes naturally to all of us at a very young age. And all that makes the curious case of Amanda Farias both fascinating and highly confusing at the same time. Amanda Farias is a majority leader of the New York City Council. She's a relatively powerful person in the largest city in the United States. And at 34 years old, she is not an infant. She's an adult woman whose brain stopped growing a long time ago. And that means, to all outward appearances, Amanda should have no problem understanding the idea that actions have consequences. But yesterday, Amanda made it clear that, in fact, she struggles very mightily with this basic concept. In response to the news that many women are now getting attacked in broad daylight in New York City, Amanda posted this on social media. She wrote, quote, "Where are the men calling this out?" So she's totally bewildered. She's confused. How is it possible Amanda Farias wants to know that women are getting sucker punched all over New York and no men are standing up to protect them? Why aren't there any men chasing down these deranged attackers and, subduing them by pinning them to the ground? Where have all the good Samaritans gone to apprehend these dangerous and unhinged vagrants with extensive criminal records? Now, that might not be a totally unreasonable question, except that less than 1 year ago, Amanda publicly called for the criminal prosecution of one such Good Samaritan, a man who defended an entire subway car against a dangerous and unhinged vagrant with an extensive criminal record. And that Good Samaritan's name, you probably recall, was Daniel Penny. And here's what Amanda Farias said about that case at the time. And again, that was just a year ago. She wrote, quote, "I continue to be heartbroken and outraged by the death of Jordan Neely and the lack of justice. The NYC Black, Latino, and Asian Caucus stands together to demand justice for Jordan and to pay attention to the systems that failed him so we do not lose any more black New Yorkers to senseless violence." Now, of course, Amanda got her wish after that statement. In fact, precisely one day after she called for Daniel Penny to face justice for defending that subway car, he was arrested on charges of manslaughter and negligent homicide. Now, if you wanted to discourage all men in the city of New York from ever standing up to a violent thug ever again, it's hard to think of a better way to do it. So now, because of the principle of cause and effect, there are apparently very few men in New York City who are standing up for women who are getting punched in the face. Now, Amanda can't see the connection, but it's pretty clear, I think, to those of us with functioning brain cells. And just for good measure, it's worth noting that Amanda has also called for defunding the police. So she wants a much smaller police force that prioritizes arresting people who exercise the right of self-defense, basically. How's that working out? Well, here's a snapshot of what's happening right now in New York as a result of this. Watch.
You guys, I was literally just walking, and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh, my God. It hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground, and now this giant goose egg is forming, and I'm like, just got punched in the face walking home. I was literally, like, leaving class. I turned the corner, and I was looking down, and I was looking at my phone and, like, texting, and then out of nowhere, this man just came up and hit me in the face.
I literally just got punched by some man on the sidewalk. He goes, "Sorry," and then punches me in the head.
As I was crossing the street, a man looked at me and within a split second pointed two fingers at me in a gun symbol and then slammed a bag, plastic bag full of God knows what, down on my face from about a foot away, and I fell into the ground.
Now, one of the women that you just saw was allegedly attacked in Manhattan around 10 a.m. by a 40-year-old man who goes by the name Skiboki Stora, who has since been arrested. We don't know who attacked the other women. According to the NYPD, this is the third time that Stora has been arrested in just the past 6 months. And all of those times, he was released on the streets almost immediately. Now, that's not because Stora was a Marine and an upstanding member of the community like Daniel Penny. Instead, for years, Stora has been posting videos complaining about white people and harassing everybody he sees. And mostly he seems to go after women in public. So here's just a handful of Stora's recent videos, which somehow didn't result in his permanent incarceration, even though he posted all of them publicly. Watch.
Slow down. What you in a rush for? What you in a rush for? Pay attention so you won't walk into people.
Can you stop?
Look, hell no. Look at her hair. Look at that. This is the only type of white black people that the white people them like to hang with. It's black girls that don't do their hair. That's the only way that these white people speak to them. That's the only way they deal with them when they don't do their hair. I'm running from Governor. You see that? I know that's right. Okay? Keep it up.
Keep it going. Okay. I don't feel safe right now. I went all the way on the other side.
Democrats. Democrats.
You crazy.
And he hit
yeah, okay.
And by the way, not only was he not, arrested and taken off the streets completely, but apparently he wasn't even banned from social media despite posting video after video of him harassing people. That didn't get him even banned. As you can see, Stora has a lot in common with Jordan Neely. He has a long and well-documented history of disregarding social norms and harassing people in public. And nobody did anything about it, even after he committed several crimes. But Stora isn't the only person attacking women with impunity, of course. This is now a common occurrence in New York. I mean, getting punched in the face by random vagrants is now part of the New York experience, basically. Watch.
It is a random, unprovoked, vicious attack on a 57-year-old woman in Brooklyn. Watch as the suspect ignores another man walking nearby, then punches the woman in her face, causing her to stumble backwards.
What happened? Why are you hitting me? Why are you hitting me? I was bleeding a lot.
Mom, I'm so scared, I'm so afraid.
Dulce Pichardo was on the receiving end of that punch, her mouth now wired shut, her face fractured in several places, drinking food out of a straw for 6 weeks, permanent damage to her lower lip, 3 teeth knocked out, and she might need surgery. In this Eyewitness News exclusive, Pichardo says he didn't say a word, just stared at her, then broke her jaw.
He hit me very, very strong over here, and he broke everything here. Everything's break.
It happened yesterday around 5 p.m. on Grand Avenue near Dean Street. Pichardo was a school bus aide and was returning from work, just steps away from home when she was slugged. Her brother owns a restaurant across the street from where she lives. He and this employee chased the suspect down. Johan Flores says he was still standing there. When they confronted him, he denied attacking Pichardo, cold and emotionless. They followed him for several blocks and stopped him from fleeing until police arrived. Cops arrested 33-year-old Franz Judy. The suspect was charged with misdemeanor assault, meaning he's not bail eligible. He'll be released back onto the street.
Released back on the street, of course. So in this case, a man did step up to help the woman because he was related to her. Otherwise, presumably, this guy would have never been caught. By the way, in case you missed it, there was a Black Lives Matter mural in the background of that report, or right where the attack took place. This is a movement that led to these so-called bail reforms that let this attacker out of jail 7 times so he could assault this woman and then get right back out of jail. Because somehow that's a misdemeanor, to break a woman's jaw. So this is a movement that's caused a lot of death and destruction in this country, particularly in black communities. And so it's fitting that BLM was right, you know, in the shop there. In any event, once again, it's a heinous crime that only an animal would commit, but the Democratic Party, with the help of George Soros, has no problem putting these animals back on the streets so they can commit more heinous crimes. And sometimes these crimes are more serious than assault, as serious as assault is. Guy Rivera, the ex-con who allegedly gunned down an NYPD officer this week, was also a repeat offender. Actually, that's an understatement. According to the New York Post, he had 21 prior arrests and was found to have a shiv stored in his rectum during the shooting in an apparent anticipation of being sent to jail again. But instead of being thrown in prison for the rest of his life a long time ago, Guy Rivera was released and released and released and released until he killed a police officer. So getting back to the cause and effect, the solution here is actually pretty simple. There aren't that many people committing these crimes. It's a small number of criminals who are constantly committing crimes because they are incapable of living anywhere outside of a prison. They are incapable of being functioning members of society. They have communicated that message to society over and over and over again. This week, the NYPD's chief of transit put the numbers in context. He wrote, quote, in calendar year 2023, NYPD cops made over 13,600 arrests in the subway system. Of these 13,600 arrests, 124 people were arrested 5 or more times in the subway system in 2023 alone. But looking further, these 124 people have been arrested over 7,500 times in their lifetimes. So in case you're curious what your cops are doing, well, they've arrested these people over 7,500 times. So to restate, of the 13,600 arrests on the NYC subway last year, 124 of the people arrested have been arrested 7,500 other times. So you could drastically cut down on the crime in New York City if you just sentenced those 124 people to life imprisonment. The subway would become much faster overnight, that's for sure. And by the way, these statistics hold up outside of the subway, too. According to the NYPD police commissioner, as reported by OutKick, nearly one-third of the city's shoplifting arrests last year involved just 327 people. Collectively, these same 327 people were arrested, released, and rearrested more than 6,000 times. That is more than 18 arrests per person in a single year. I mean, these are staggering figures. They boggle the mind. Now, in a city where the leaders understood cause and effect, the solution is clear. All you have to do is punish these people, these habitual lawmakers. You put them in prison, and you don't let them out. That was the point of the three strikes laws, before everybody pretended that they were some grave human rights abuse. Oh, no, we get 3 strikes. It's a terrible thing. You know, to put someone away in prison, we got, you know, only allowing people to commit crimes 3 times, that is cruel and unusual. We have to let them commit 15 crimes before we put them in jail, and even then we shouldn't. By the way, that was conservatives, so-called conservatives, have made that same argument as well. What Soros DAs are doing is giving criminals unlimited strikes. They're free to reoffend and terrorize the population as much as they want. Instead of putting these career criminals in prison, the leaders of the city of New York decided instead to turn their entire city into a prison. Because, you know, you could put the criminals in prison, or you can make the city itself a prison, and they've decided to go with the latter here. So they've opted to treat all 8 million residents of New York City as felons. And to that end, the mayor has just announced that body scanners are coming to the subway. Watch.
So Mike and his backpack, he has cell phone, wallet, and all electronics in there. They did not go off. All right? Mike, go through one more time. Vlad has two cell phones, and he also has a loaded gun, which is a rifle gun. These are the guns that we train with. We practice at the academy. Go ahead, Mike. Walk through. That's a real gun, but it doesn't have the firing pin in it. Scott? Yeah. Is that it? Is that wrong? Yeah, please.
Look, right here. You show where the gun is. That box there? So, he had a gun on his right side. That box there, showing where the gun is.
And like Commissioner Gerber said, we're only allowed to search this area, investigate this area where the alert is back.
So this is what happens when you can't admit that a small number of people are committing the crimes. You have to pretend that an old white office worker from Midtown has the same likelihood of pushing a woman in front of the subway tracks or sucker punching a grandmother or opening fire as anybody else. But that's not true. These attacks against women, as they're being called, that are taking place in Manhattan and Brooklyn are not being carried out simply by men, right? That's what the councilwoman, the media, men are attacking women is the way that they put it. Which is true, but you could be more specific than that, because they're actually being carried out overwhelmingly by black men. Nearly 9 out of every 10 assaults in New York City are committed by a black or Hispanic perpetrator, according to IO, which is an account on Twitter that studies crime statistics. Black men have a per capita homicide rate that's more than 15 times the rate for white women, for white men, rather, even more than that for white women, according to statistics pulled by the account Data Hazard. And these are statistics that outside of Twitter, mainstream publications don't report on. And that's why I'm citing social media accounts. But really, you don't need these citations, because anyone looking at these videos can tell the truth. Black men are committing a wildly disproportionate amount of these violent crimes. And in particular, it's the same black men over and over and over again who are not being put in prison. And because this is one group you're not allowed to criticize, New Yorkers are supposed to pretend that everyone in the entire city is equally guilty. That anybody at all walking down the street might assault you. There's no way to tell who's more likely than anybody else. And as they walk through the body scanners and women get punched in the face on the sidewalk, they're supposed to pretend that their real problem is that quote-unquote good men are reluctant to step up. But Daniel Penny proves why good men are reluctant to step up. The powers that be are doing everything they can to demoralize and punish the good men. And then they wonder why there aren't any around anymore. And it reminds me of the C.S. Lewis line, we make men without chess and expect of them virtue and enterprise. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst. Well, politicians like Amanda Farias have spent the last year not only laughing at honor, but punishing it. And now, predictably, the traitors are in our midst. We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
The Shasta College summer term will start June 10th, and priority registration has started. Contact a counselor and check out all the cool classes being offered this summer. Get a jump start on a degree or certificate, or get transfer ready by taking one of the many classes held this summer at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/admissions to get started.
Linda spot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Your vacation is over, but the worst part, a long drive home from Sacramento. Unless you chose to fly from Redding, at Redding Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home, with quick check-ins and nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. You can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. The controversy over a decision made by the Edwardsville School Board in Illinois, and I want to play you the local news report so that you can go on the same journey that I went on when I first watched this this morning. And because the idea that you'll hear about, it starts out bad, and then it gets worse as they continue to explain it. Let's watch.
Fiery debate over gender-neutral bathrooms tonight. Millions of dollars on the line in Edwardsville as the school board votes to pass the proposal for Edwardsville High. Fox News' Max Dietenite was at the meeting, which just wrapped up at Liberty Middle School.
A passionate debate over millions of dollars going toward building new gender-neutral bathrooms at Edwardsville High School. Some parents and others upset over this idea.
Who watches the watchers?
But using our tax money, money that I earned, to do something I oppose is just so wrong. Shouldn't even be a consideration. It's wasting the public's time. Thank you.
But others, including a current transgender student, argue the opposition is fear-mongering and that these bathrooms are safe.
From my experience as a transgender man, I rarely have ever felt safe in a public restroom.
This is an excellent opportunity to validate them as they are, to make education a safe space for them. I commend the board on moving forward with this. I encourage you to do so, and I thank you for your time.
Take a look at your screen. These are renderings of the common area bathrooms boys and girls would share at Edwardsville High, featuring private, fully enclosed stalls for each student. There's a light above each room indicating whether the stall is locked and already in use. District officials say the hand washing stations would be in the center for everyone to use, visible from the lobby and supervised during the busiest parts of the day. Still, some parents fear having teenage boys and girls in the same space like this is a bad idea. Monday night, the board voted to pass.
So they passed it. So gender neutral bathrooms are the proposal. Not just the proposal, it's been approved. And we've obviously seen the gender-neutral bathroom idea put forward many times in many school districts as a way of solving the trans student dilemma. And I've always been opposed to gender-neutral bathrooms for the simple reason that there actually is no dilemma. It's a solution to a problem that we have invented, and, you know, the way to solve it is to just stop inventing the problem. The old system worked perfectly well. There was no problem. There was no issue. Everything was fine. Boys use the boys' room. Girls use the girls' room. It's not a problem. It's fine. This has been the system in public schools for as long as public schools have existed. If something has been done for decades, for centuries, and it's worked fine, and then you're coming along and say, well, you should radically change this, then the burden of proof is on you to explain, like, what was the issue? Why is there a problem now if there never has been before? If people have been doing a certain thing forever and it's been fine, and then you come along and you've got a problem with it, then it would seem like the issue is you. The problem is you. If everyone else can do it and they're fine and you have a problem, the problem is you. So that's the issue. It's just that, you know, 15 seconds ago, we decided to start pretending that there is a problem. And in pretending that there's a problem, one was created. But again, it can be solved by simply not pretending that it's a problem anymore. And you know, just tell the boys to go with the boys, girls with the girls, males with males, females with females. That's it. That's all. We don't need gender-neutral bathrooms. The gendered bathrooms are an absolutely perfect system. I mean, as perfect as a bathroom system can be. There's no issue. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. Jefferson, state of mind.
Number one, gold.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. But here's the thing. I opposed gender-neutral bathrooms, even though I assumed that the gender-neutral rooms would be single bathrooms, where it's just there's just one bathroom, and it's one person uses it at a time, and it's not labeled for any particular for male or female, because only one person is using it at a time. The bathrooms in your home are, quote, gender-neutral in that way. One person uses them at a time, and so you don't, there's no reason to designate male or female. And in those contexts, like at a small little coffee shop or at your home, in a context where only one person is using the bathroom at a time, it makes sense. I mean, you don't even call them gender neutral. They're just it's just the bathroom. But still, I would have I opposed doing that in schools, because I don't think we need to go out of our way to build bathrooms like that in schools in order to get around this imaginary issue that we've created. But silly me, I didn't realize that we were talking about an actual communal bathroom with multiple stalls for multiple people, where girls and boys will be invited to use it at the same time. So, and that apparently is what is we're talking about. Not just talking about, but it's what they're going to do. Where teenagers in high school will be invited to use the bathroom with the opposite sex. Like, whenever you think the public school system could not possibly get, like, when it's gotten as stupid as it possibly can get, it somehow proves that you're wrong. It can get even dumber, because this is such a bad idea. I mean, it's such a bad idea that we'll get to this in a second, but it doesn't even solve the fake problem they've invented. It doesn't solve any real problem, because there is no real problem, but even the fake problem is not solved by this. So let's just outline all the reasons why this is the dumbest thing ever conceived. The first and most obvious, of course, is that you're putting hormonal teenagers of both sexes into a bathroom together, and obviously that is going to lead to all the things that I don't need to describe, because we were all teenagers at one time, and we know, and many of us went to public high schools, and so you know how it's going to go. And it sounds like that's what some of the parents brought up in the meeting, that's a bad idea. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? That's the stupidest thing. You're just asking for all kinds of problems when you do that. But that's only the first problem. But it's probably the biggest, but it's only the first. Second problem is that the students who don't welcome the opportunity that is afforded to them by having both sexes use the same bathroom, those students will be instead extremely uncomfortable. So if public restrooms, especially in school, are already kind of awkward just because of the nature of what the facilities are there for, now you've just made them 100 times more awkward. And did I hear correct that, I think I did, that the communal sinks will be visible from the lobby and there's going to be adults in the bathroom, like, supervising? When the kids are going into the stall, there's going to be adults standing there watching? Is that, did I get that right? And you can see it from the lobby? So you have found a way, somehow, against all odds, to give these teenagers both more privacy than they should have at school, in the sense that you're putting boys and girls together in an inappropriate setting, and also not nearly enough privacy at the exact same time. So it's a terrible idea for opposite reasons at the same time. That's how bad it is. And third, and this is the big thing here, as alluded to, it doesn't even solve the imaginary problem that it's supposed to solve. There's no real problem being solved because there was no real problem to begin with. Boys with boys, girls with girls in the bathroom, it was fine. It was fine. But even the fake problem isn't being solved, because the whole point for the boy who identifies as a girl or for the girl who identifies as a boy, the whole reason that they want access to the opposite sex restroom, well, the most innocent possible reason that they could want access, is to be affirmed, right, as the opposite sex. And that's really what this is all about. But you aren't affirming them by doing this. Like, this doesn't affirm anybody. This is no, the whole reason, again, I say the whole reason, there are other reasons, but sort of taking them at their word, the reason why you have a male who wants to use the female restroom, taking him at his word on this, is that, which we shouldn't, but just for the sake of argument, is that it's an affirmative validating, because now I'm being accepted as a woman, and that's what this is all about. But you're not, this is not, doesn't validate, it doesn't affirm, it doesn't, you know, you're not being accepted as a woman. Just everyone's being thrown into the same environment now. Now, I'm not saying that we should affirm them. We shouldn't. My point is simply that this doesn't even do the bad thing it's supposed to do, which is the whole reason they're doing it, which means either that the pro-trans side will hate this. I know we heard from a few there in the clip that said that they're in favor of it. But generally, the pro-trans side will either hate this, and you know, historically, in recent history anyway, they have opposed this kind of compromise for the reason I just said. Because what they want is to be accepted and affirmed as the opposite sex. They don't want, if you come out and you do gender-neutral bathrooms, that doesn't work for them. So either they're going to hate it, which means that you're doing all this for them and they don't even like it. Or if they are okay with it, as they seem to be here, I guess, well, that means that they've dropped the whole affirmation thing from the bathroom debate, which means we can just go back to the old system. So either way, the old system is the only one that makes sense. And instead, they are, in an effort to solve a fake problem, they are doing something that will create all kinds of new problems, while solving precisely nothing. In conclusion, get your kids the hell out of public schools. I don't know if I've mentioned that before. I don't know if you realize that that's my stance. I may have mentioned it a time or two. Don't send your kids into this environment. Just don't do it. You honest to God, I've said before, you would be better, and I don't even mean it as a joke, you would be better off sending your kids off into the woods to be raised by wolves than you would sending them to public school. Because they go to public school, they're being raised by the public school system, whether you like it or not. That's what happens. That's why public school exists, to raise your kids, so the government can raise your kids. So rather than having these lunatics raise your kid, it would be better for your kid if you just said, okay, drop them off in the Amazon rainforest, and I'll pick you up in 10 years. In fact, that'd be much better for them than the public school environment. Probably safer, too, actually. At least they'll come out of it with, like, some skills that they'll have learned. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well, inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
guess when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes? It's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time. And that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet. And now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today. 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
I'm required to qualify.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Today we must cancel Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. Abbott has been impressive recently in his mission to defend the southern border despite the Biden administration's efforts to prevent him from doing so, and so I am loath to cancel him in the midst of that fight, but he has left me no choice. Here's the report from the ABC affiliate in Austin. Watch.
The Israel-Hamas war has sparked protests around the world and in Austin. It's chants like these and other incidents at public universities that led Governor Greg Abbott to issue an executive order to fight anti-Semitism on college campuses. It requires universities to review and update free speech policies, include the definition of anti-Semitism in those policies, and enforce those policies, which could include expulsion. A move members of the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas say could set off a wave of problems.
When the government starts to infringe on protected speech and when the government starts to practice viewpoint discrimination, that has a trickle-down effect to all sorts of populations.
The governor pointed to a rise in anti-Semitic acts and took aim at two student organizations, including UT's Palestine Solidarity Committee, which has led several protests.
So the governor naming two specific student-founded organizations as organizations that are practicing hate speech or that are in violation of his order is viewpoint discrimination in a really explicit way.
So Governor Greg Abbott here has committed the ultimate sin. He has forced me to agree with a woman from the ACLU with pronouns next to her name. The ACLU is rarely correct about anything these days, and people with pronouns next to their name are correct even less often than that. But in this case, they happen to have stumbled on the truth as Abbott signs an executive order to fight anti-Semitism on college campuses. And what does fighting anti-Semitism mean? Well, here's the statement that the governor's office put out this week. Quote, Governor Greg Abbott today issued an executive order to fight the increase in acts of anti-Semitism at colleges and universities in Texas and ensure a safe learning environment for Jewish students and all Texans. Quote, anti-Semitism is never acceptable in Texas, and we will do everything we can to fight it, said Governor Abbott. The state of Texas stands with Israel and the Jewish community, and we must escalate our efforts to protect against anti-Semitism at Texas colleges and universities and across our state. Across the country, acts of anti-Semitism have grown in number, size, and danger to the Jewish community since Hamas's deadly attack on October 7th. Texas took immediate action to protect Jewish schools, synagogues, and other key locations. Many Texas colleges and universities have also acted quickly to condemn anti-Semitism, but some radical organizations on our campuses engage in acts that have no place in Texas. Now we must work to ensure that our college campuses are safe spaces for members of the Jewish community. The governor's executive order requires that all higher education institutions in Texas review their free speech policies to establish appropriate punishments for anti-Semitic rhetoric on college and university campuses, ensure that policies that address the sharp rise of anti-Semitic acts are enforced, and include the definition of anti-Semitism in free speech policies. So, this is an executive order targeting what he describes as anti-Semitic acts and rhetoric. In fact, he's ordering colleges in a state to establish appropriate punishments for this rhetoric, which he deems anti-Semitic. And he says explicitly that these offensive statements must be shut down so that college campuses are safe spaces for Jewish people. Now, I seem to remember Republicans spending the past, 10 years complaining about the safe space mentality on college campuses. And now here we have the Republican governor of Texas issuing an executive order commanding college campuses to be safe spaces. So we seem to have lost the plot here somewhere along the line. There are a lot of reasons why governors should not be issuing executive orders to combat anti-Semitism or any other form of bigotry, but I'll focus on just three of those reasons. First of all, violence, vandalism, threats, and deliberate incitement are already illegal. Now, some have defended this executive order by arguing that its real intent is to crack down on these, sorts of crimes that are committed against Jewish people. But again, these are crimes. They're already illegal. If they're happening anywhere in Texas, whether on a college campus or not, the state already has all of the authority it needs to arrest and prosecute the culprits. You don't need to make an illegal thing even more illegal. You don't need an executive order making it extra illegal. Just enforce the laws that are already on the books. So, if, say, somebody's vandalizing a synagogue or assaulting a Jewish person or explicitly calling for violence against Jews, they can already be arrested. This order will do nothing to stop or punish those crimes because they already have the laws in place to stop or punish those crimes. And if somehow they didn't have the laws in place, if, let's say, Texas had forgotten to make vandalism or assault illegal, well, then the solution would be to pass a law making those violent acts illegal. But even then, this executive order would be the wrong way to do it. One, because it's an executive order, not a law. And two, because it seeks to protect one particular group instead of all groups. So vandalism, assault, etc., they are wrong no matter who they target. They are equally wrong no matter who they target. They should be prosecuted with equal vigor regardless of the demographics of the victim. We do not need laws protecting Jewish people. We need laws protecting people, to include Jews, obviously, and everybody else. And if we already have those laws, which we do, then we don't need a second law or order making these crimes extra specially illegal if you commit them against a certain group. But the real point here has nothing to do with physical crimes. The real point is the bit about anti-Semitic rhetoric, which brings us to the second problem related to the issue that I just raised in the first. Let's pretend for a moment that we all agreed that so-called hate speech should be banned from universities. Let's pretend that hateful rhetoric really had no place in Texas or anywhere else, as the governor would say. Now, I don't agree with this idea, as I'll explain in a moment, but let's grant it for the sake of argument. Well then, why wouldn't the executive order establish appropriate punishments, quote unquote, for hateful rhetoric against anyone of any group? And if, for whatever reason, it was decided that we needed to actually specifically outline every single group that you cannot say hateful things about, then why are certain groups conspicuously left off the list? It is rather hard to imagine Greg Abbott ever issuing an executive order calling for punishments for anti-white rhetoric on college campuses, in spite of the fact that anti-whiteism is not only incredibly pervasive on every major university campus in the country, but it's also part of the curriculum. Students are forced to listen to anti-white screeds in the classroom from their professors. Every hateful thing imaginable has been said on college campuses about white people by staff, by administrators, by professors, let alone also, of course, the students. Yet, to my knowledge, Greg Abbott has never issued an executive order addressing that. Why is that? Now, you could, again, easily kill all these birds with one stone if you just banned all hateful statements against all people. But he doesn't do that. That doesn't happen anywhere. Instead, certain groups are singled out for protections, while certain groups are given no special protections at all. Third, I make that last point, as I said, for the sake of argument. My actual position is that there should not be any hate speech laws or policies at all. I reject hate speech as a concept, as a category. Hate speech, if it's anything, is simply speech that expresses hate. And some speech does express hate. But what I reject is the idea that any governmental authority should ever be in the business of trying to read the mind of a speaker and determine whether there was hatred behind it, and then punish the statement based on their own interpretation of the emotional state of the person who made the statement. I reject that completely. I also reject the idea that any form of rhetoric at all should be banned or punished on college campuses. Threats and incitements are already illegal, as we've established. So putting those aside, we are left with opinions, claims, ideas, exhortations, declarations. And as for those, even if they're wrong, even if they're baseless, even if they're offensive, even if they are, yes, hateful, they should not be banned or punished, and they certainly should not be the subject of an executive order from the governor's office. We cannot pretend to care in the slightest bit about free speech if we are banning speech on the basis that it's hateful towards protected groups. This is not just an infringement on free speech, it is the total eradication of free speech. Because after all, the only kind of speech that really needs legal protection in the first place is the speech that is deemed hateful and inappropriate by the powers that be. Speech that is pleasant and uncontroversial and friendly and gentle, that doesn't need to be protected. I mean, you could live in a country with no free speech. You could live in North Korea. You could be locked up in a communist prison camp and you'd still be able to say all those sorts of things. So when a person in power says, you have free speech, unless it's speech that I find to be really inappropriate personally, that's another way of saying that you don't have free speech. And this point, I would think, is obvious. Now, I don't know exactly what sort of speech the governor considers anti-Semitic. That's a big part of the problem here, because what we know is that any popularly used label for any particular form of bigotry is in a constant state of expansion. So bigotry labels, they're like the universe. Their boundaries expand and expand and expand until they become as broad and all-encompassing as the universe itself. That's reason enough why you can't ban speech on this basis. Any speech at all could be included in the label because the labels are so broad and so subjective. But let's narrow the scope here just for a moment. Because in reality, to be anti-Semitic is to hate Jewish people because they are Jews. That's what anti-Semitism is. Everything that is not that is not anti-Semitism. You could say a lot of other things about Jewish people, that you could make a lot of other statements that are incorrect. You could even say things that are offensive. But unless they express that you hate Jewish people for being Jews, they're not anti-Semitic. Just like being racist against a particular race means that you hate the members of that race because they are members of that race. And again, you could say a lot of other things about people of a certain race that maybe are incorrect. You could even engage in stereotypes. You could say you could have misapprehensions. You could have misunderstandings. You could say a lot of things. But unless you're expressing that you hate these people because they're members of that race, it is not racist. Now, I realize this is the narrowest, most limited definition of these terms, and it's also the only coherent and clearly delineated definition. If you expand it beyond these boundaries, you will quickly find that now there are no real boundaries and anything can be included. So, what if somebody says something that is really clearly anti-Semitic? What if they stand up and they say, this would be the clearest version of all, I hate Jews. What if they said that? Well, there's no denying that such a statement is anti-Semitic. There's no denying that likely statements like that have been made on college campuses. Should there be an executive order or law prescribing punishments for such expressions? No, of course not. If a person hates Jews, they should be allowed to say so without any legal repercussions. If they hate black people, if they hate Asians, if they hate gay people, if they hate Christians, if they hate white people, if they hate me, if they hate you, if they hate anyone for any reason, they should be allowed to say it. And they are allowed to say it about some of those groups. They should be allowed to say it about any of them. Because you know what? People can feel how they feel, and they can say how they feel. And if free speech doesn't mean that at least, then it doesn't mean anything. So how should we respond to somebody who says such things? How should we answer a true expression of hate? Well, through speech. Fight speech with speech. Why is that such a difficult concept? On a college campus, we should be teaching students how to communicate their disagreement and disgust and revulsion through speech of their own. They shouldn't need a quote-unquote safe space to retreat to. They shouldn't need the governor to come save them. If they don't like something that somebody has said, they can say so and they can explain why. Now, that's not going to stop the other person from saying it, but that's the way it works in life, or how it should work. You don't get to control what other people think, and you don't get to control what other people say, unless you're Greg Abbott, apparently, which is why he is today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. With war raging nearby, it was a scaled-down Good Friday in Jerusalem.
Despite ongoing tensions in the Middle East, Christians have marked Good Friday in Jerusalem. Worshippers move slowly down the Via Dolorosa, the cobblestone alley that cuts through the limestone-walled Old City, where tradition says Jesus bore the cross to his crucifixion. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, as well as other various religious sites, is open to the faithful. Over the past 2 weeks, Friday prayers have passed without violence at the revered Al-Aqsa Mosque under tight Israeli restrictions. I'm Charles Villadesma.
Crews are preparing to use the largest crane on the East Coast to help clear tons of debris from the Baltimore Bridge collapse. Officials say the initial focus will be on clearing the bow of the ship that smashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge earlier this week. The debris has been hindering efforts of crews searching for the four construction workers who remain missing and are presumed dead. ChatGPT maker OpenAI unveils its new voice engine technology that can clone a person's voice after hearing it for only 15 seconds. Lisa Dwyer reports.
OpenAI says it will not widely release the technology just yet because of the dangers of misuse in an election year. In New Hampshire, authorities are investigating robocalls sent to thousands of voters just before the presidential primary that featured an AI-generated voice mimicking President Joe Biden. While there are a number of startup companies already selling voice cloning technology, OpenAI says their early voice engine testers have agreed to not impersonate a person without their consent and to disclose that voices are AI-generated. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're paid for by AG Marketing Group. Attention timeshare owners. If you need to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, please listen to the following message. Getting out of a timeshare commitment is not easy, and it takes time. But we specialize in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares forever. Can't get the vacation dates that work for you? Maybe you felt taken advantage of or forced into the timeshare? Maybe you just can't continue to shoulder those monthly payments any longer. If you need to eliminate your timeshare commitment, then you need to take down this number. 800-796-9107. We will safely and legally get rid of your timeshare payments forever, all with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't continue to let your timeshare be a financial burden to you and your loved ones. Call us now at 800-796-9107. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-796-9107. That's 800-796-9107. Again, 800-796-9107.
Chinese telecom gear company Huawei Technologies claims its profits more than doubled last year as its cloud and digital businesses thrived.
The Shenzhen-based company reported a net profit of $12 billion, helped by strong sales and an improved product portfolio. Revenue jumped nearly 10% compared to a year earlier. Huawei's rotating chairman, Ken Hu, said the company's figures were in line with forecasts.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting, one of China's first global tech brands, Huawei has been caught up in China-U.S. tensions over technology and security. The United States has imposed sanctions on the company, saying its products and services pose a risk to national security. Five people are dead after taking health supplements in Japan. Close to 100 more are in the hospital after consuming supplements with a fermented rice ingredient. The company that makes it recalled the products containing the ingredient. News and analysis at townhall.com. New York City is turning to tech to help combat a surge in crime.
City officials unveiling a pilot program to deploy portable gun scanners in the subway system. Mayor Eric Adams says the scanners will be introduced in certain stations after a legally mandated 90-day waiting period. Adams says they're working to identify companies with expertise in weapons detection technology. One legal aid attorney says gun detection systems can trigger false alarms, causing panic. Rich Thomason reported.
Academy Award-winning actor Lou Gossett Jr. has passed away. He attended NYU on a basketball and drama scholarship and later won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for his role as Sergeant Foley in An Officer and a Gentleman. He also won an Emmy for his role in the miniseries Roots. Mr. Gossett was 87 years old. More on these stories at townhall.com.
John Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Reading's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm to table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup when we talk about what's going on and introducing you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Person. Get your picture taken with three Democrat catastrophes. And for $100,000, Annie Leibovitz, the famous wealthy photographer to the stars, would take your photograph. Then you could put it on your shelf at home and say, oh, yes, this is my Annie Leibovitz photograph, me with Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Bill Clinton at Radio City Music Hall in New York. It was a big fundraiser. I gave him $100,000. Or, as the Washington Post, and now today, I was talking about this yesterday, the New York Post also has many of the subjects paid $500,000 for the privilege of getting your Annie Leibovitz photo with three Democrat presidents, one of which really despises America. The other one couldn't find America on a map. And the third is just looking for dates at any given moment. Remarkable stuff. And while they were doing that, they were interrupted multiple times by the pro-Hamas Democrat Party people. They love terrorism, and they hate the Jews, just like at Harvard and the George Washington University. Anti-Semitism is fashionable in Democrat Party circles. They say it's not anti-Semitism, but it is. And so they were interrupted repeatedly by left-wing radicals in the audience. I don't know how much they paid to get in, the radicals, but, it's somebody else's money. It's OPM, other people's money. And it doesn't matter to them because they didn't earn it. So spending other people's money is a classic Democrat/socialist/lefty characteristic. Other people's money is the path to success for the American left and the left everywhere, for that matter. So this was going on, and there were mobs outside of Radio City Music Hall that had some weird chants yesterday, didn't they? They had some weird chants, and they were denouncing Joe Biden, but not Barack Obama, because he can slow the rise of the oceans, and they know that he hates the Jews, too. But mobs outside, Jew-hating mobs outside, and they love Hamas. They love the massacre. You see this? The Associated Press got a big award. They got a big photography award, news photography award, for a photograph of a young woman that was kidnapped and raped and tortured and murdered by the Hamas animals. And an Associated Press photographer got a picture of a little slice of the action. And so they got a big award, a very prestigious award for this. It's a remarkable. They're not on our side. They're not on our side. So we got that going for us. But while the Democrats were raising a record amount of money, $25 or $26 million, at a single fundraiser, exciting and titillating the American news media because they also contribute in myriad ways to the Democrat Party. President Trump was also in New York, but unlike the Democrat presidents, President Trump was actually invited to attend the funeral of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller and to spend time with the widow and the one-year-old boy that was left behind, or that were left behind, and was embraced very warmly by the Diller family and by the police who were there in great numbers for the funeral of Officer Jonathan Diller. And it's a perfect representation, really, of the differences between the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, between Trump and the, really, Obama-Biden Democrat Party, because you know that Obama's the puppet master behind Joe Biden, who is nothing but a sock puppet living in the White House as kind of a prank on all of us. It's a remarkable thing to see. But a perfect representation. President Trump supporting the police. The Democrat Party supporting the cop killer. You see, you can be on the side of the cop are on the side of the cop killer. The Republican Party and President Trump on the side of the cop and the police officers and the family, and the Democrat Party on the side of the cop killer. You know, they released him. This killer had been arrested 21 times in the past 21 times. And his co-conspirator, two animals were arrested there in New York. And the Democrats are the ones that keep putting the animals back on the street to kill and to attack and so on. Perfect representation. And also, starkly bare, last night was the fact that the Democrats are out in the street cheering for Hamas. There they see the Republican Party and Trump on the side of Israel, our ally representing civilization itself. Hamas representing the death of civilization, nay, the murder of civilization. Democrat Party chanting for Hamas. Democrat Party ignoring the murdered police officer and trying to, you know, get a bail-free release of that. And I don't think they have specifically in this case sought the no-bail release of the cop killer, because that would be politically embarrassing. But this cop killer, with his long record, should be facing the death penalty. If you're going to have the death penalty for anything, it should be for murdering police officers. And the Democrats will come to the defense of. And also, speaking of Democrats, there's in New York City, don't go to New York City. In New York City, there are men, not a single man, but a number of men, multiple men, going around the city punching women in the face. And it's a pattern, but it's not. They're not looking for one guy. They're looking for multiple guys, different guys. Men going around punching women in the face in New York City. It's remarkable. And a dim-witted Democrat woman in New York, a bigwig, raised her hand and said, "Hey, wait a minute, where are the men in all of this?" Because she's outraged that Democrat men are going around the city of New York punching women in the face just out of the blue, no reason, women they don't know, and then moving on, and nobody's doing anything about it. You know, there are no men demonstrating their toxic masculinity going after the men that are punching women in the face for no reason. And that's because, I'll get to the story, but this woman, Democrat woman in New York, says, "Where are the men? Where are the men? Why aren't men doing anything?" And everybody responded pretty quickly, because she's too dim-witted to know what's going on as a result of her own policies and her own views. Pointed out very quickly, well, there was a Marine named Daniel Penny on a train, and when a mentally ill lunatic that everybody knew in the neighborhood as a mentally ill lunatic, and Al Sharpton pretended like he was his friend, the Reverend Al Charlatan, and Daniel Penny tried to stop the lunatic that was terrorizing women and children and old and young on a subway train. And when Daniel Penny was fighting with the man, the crazy person, the man died, and it was a tragic situation. Daniel Penny was arrested, put in cuffs, and charged with manslaughter, and the Democrats are trying to put him in prison for decades on end for trying to stand up for sanity and civility and civilization on a subway train. But the Democrats want to put him in prison for manslaughter. And that's because, you know, he was demonstrating toxic masculinity. They, you know, the Democrats, they view masculinity as a negative thing, except in women, of course, who grow beards and, you know, many of them have penises to Democrat women. It's a strange time to be a Democrat, to be sure. So we've got all these interesting things going on in New York, and they do point up the differences between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. The Democrats go around punching women in the face and then complain that men with their toxic masculinity aren't doing anything about it. And that's because everybody knows that the Democrats will try to put you in prison forever if you do try to do anything about it, if you do stand up. By the way, I work with a wonderful woman at Newsmax, Carly, who's just the greatest. And she was on a train in New York City less than 2 weeks ago, when a man stood up and walked over to a woman and punched the woman in the face on the train. And my friend Carly, a great producer at Newsmax, wonderful person, said that one guy just said, "Whoa," right? And then the psychopath walked over to the guy and gave him a huge whopping smack across the face, just right across the face, because he said, "Whoa." And now this is a subway train. It's the Daniel Penny situation. What is a toxic masculine man supposed to do in this situation, knowing that the Democrats will hang you
from a yardarm in Central Park if you actually stand up and do anything about it. Because you know that the establishment Democrats are not on your side. They're not on the side of civilization. They're not on the side of Israel, and they're on the side of Hamas. They're not on the side of Daniel Penny. They're on the side of the crazy person that's terrorizing everybody on the train. They're not on the side of the women walking down the sidewalk. They're really, in the end, on the side of the men that are punching women in the face. It's remarkable. They're not on the side of the police officer that's shot. They're on the side of the criminals roaming the street. The Democrat Party is not a civilized party anymore. It's left the reservation. It's quite extraordinary. But in the meantime, while they're chanting in favor of Hamas and interrupting Barack Obama, and how dare you interrupt Barack Obama, don't you know who he is, and Joe Biden and Bill Clinton in favor of Hamas, just remarkable what the Democrat Party is, what the Democrat Party has become. They're on the wrong side of everything, everything. And again, the Republican Party, for all of its many shortcomings, had President Trump invited by the police to the funeral of Jonathan Diller yesterday, and he went. Not a peep out of Joe Biden, not a peep out of Barack Obama, not a peep out of Bill Clinton, of course, because they're up to other things. Know what I'm saying? Remarkable stuff. So I've got a bunch of audio for you on that. Also, an update today on Evan Gershkovich, the Wall Street Journal reporter that was nabbed by Vlad the Impaler Putin in Russia and thrown into jail for being a Wall Street Journal reporter, doing a story about how bad the economy was in Russia. Threw him in jail. That was a year ago today that Evan Gershkovich, Wall Street Journal, was thrown in a Russian jail by Vlad the Impaler. And a year ago today. And Joe Biden hasn't gotten him out. It's remarkable. Also, I mentioned it yesterday, but in Oakland, California, not a nice city. It's a terrible city. Don't go there. A 102-year-old World War II veteran who's lived in Oakland pretty much all his life and lived in the same house for 80 years. His house is regularly vandalized. He's a 102-year-old World War II veteran. And Democrat punks come along with spray paint cans with red and black, and they spray paint his fence, cover it with graffiti. And now the city of Oakland wants to fine him more than $1,000, and then they're going to fine him every day if he doesn't go out at 102 and paint the fence that the Democrats have desecrated with graffiti, because, you know, Democrats. And I've got an update for you on that. Remarkable things. We got that. A couple of homages at the opening day of baseball at Orioles, the Orioles baseball game in Baltimore yesterday. Pretty good stuff. And I love this story. There's a woman I want to meet in Montgomery County. I want to buy her the beverage of her choice. A remarkable woman that carries a knife. She carries a knife, and she had to use it yesterday. A remarkable story of madness, of nature, of rabies, and of a great woman who should get an award from the county, but will probably be brought up on charges by the Democrats there. We are at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit.
Oh, honey, it's our favorite leak filter trusted pro, Matt. Matt, come in.
Hi, Mrs. Sparks. You wanted me to stop by? Is everything okay with your leak filter gutter protection system?
Okay. Of course, silly. We wanted you to stop by for dinner as our way of thanking you.
Yes, to thank you for that free gutter inspection, the free estimate, and what was the other thing?
That lifetime guarantee.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Sparks, those are just leak filter's policies. Everyone who calls leak filter gets a trusted pro to come out for a free gutter inspection and estimate. And every leak filter installation comes with a lifetime guarantee.
So it's not
not just us?
No, sir. We don't want anyone to worry about clogged gutters ever again.
You mean everyone gets this level of service?
Everyone. They just need to visit leafilter.com/WWO to schedule their free inspection.
Okay, but you must be starving. You work so hard.
Ready to love your gutter protection as much as we do? Visit leafilter.com/WWO and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates, all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The world needs more heroes, more action-oriented do-gooders, more here's how I can help right-hand men and women. The world of sarcoma is no different. And if you're thinking, what is sarcoma? We're glad you're listening. Sarcoma is a rare cancer of the body's soft tissue and bone, a cancer affecting tens of thousands of Americans every year. A cancer that has more than 70 subtypes, many of which require unique treatment options at various stages of discovery. And we lose thousands of lives to sarcoma in the U.S. on a yearly basis. The Sarcoma Foundation of America partners with heroes, do-gooders, and helpers from all walks of life to advocate for sarcoma patients through funded research and widespread awareness efforts. New and more effective sarcoma therapies are out there. We just need to work together to discover them and find a cure for this cancer once and for all. Now is the time to step up and fight the good fight against sarcoma. Join forces by visiting curesarcoma.org to learn more.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
The Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Get 50% off site-wide and save on mouth-watering favorites today. Go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale where you can load up on all the delicious flavor you crave at half the price. And when you use promo code SIZZLE at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. Save big on delicious, tender, juicy steaks, big, beefy burgers, and so much more. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code SIZZLE at checkout. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Yeah, women walking around New York City getting punched in the face by randos because there are a lot of Democrats on the loose up there, and a lot of them don't like women, as it turns out. And they're violent, and they, you know, they figure they can get away with it because they're in a Democrat city. And they hate the police, but they love the criminal. Just as every cop is a criminal and all the sinners saints. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. And why do you hear this? This woman in Montgomery County with a knife that I want to meet. But right now, let's go to, let's go to Angela calling from Montclair, Virginia. Angela, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris.
Angela.
And happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter and happy Good Friday to you. Thank you.
All right, great. And listen, you know, the Democrats, they would never miss an opportunity the way you all will not just call it out, tell the truth. If those were Asian women, they would say Asian women were getting hit in the face. There are people attacking white women. There are people attacking the white kids in the schools, pushing white people off the platforms because it's open season on white people. And then, oh, there's a speedy diagnosis, mental diagnosis at the scene of the crime. They're mentally ill, my foot. And I don't know what you all are going to do about this because it's getting worse, especially in the schools, even to the point they're not even reporting it anymore. And there's always this, the mother said that he was mentally ill, he was diagnosed. When did they call the mother? I believe none of the stuff that they're saying. I think you all need to do something, and I think all of us need to do something about it. One, let's just be real about what's happening. Let's just be real about that. Do you think if there was a white man beating up someone and a couple of black men got together and pulled them off, do you think they would even be arrested? Do you think they would be held as heroes? And you all, I mean, I shouldn't say you all, like it's just a white problem. It's a societal problem. And it's just making the demonized white people to the point where people believe that it's fine to just attack.
Yeah, I think it's part of the Democrat Party's program right now. I'm glad you pointed that out. I hadn't even really looked at it that way, but you're right.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Life is always easier when we make good decisions. Taking care of your vehicle with regular maintenance is a smart decision that will save you money. Going to Premier Oil Change for regular maintenance is another great decision and an easy way to maintain your new car warranty. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Come experience fast drive-through service with no appointment required. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And in Anderson, across from Roundtable, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Attention adventure seekers. Save the date for the 30th annual Safari Club International Banquet hosted by the Reading Chapter of Safari Club International on April 27th at the Wind River Resort Center beginning at 5 p.m. Immerse yourself in the thrill of our auction featuring guns, hunting trips, equipment, and breathtaking artwork. Get ready for games and a drawing with fantastic prizes. For more details and tickets, visit sciredding.org. Join us for an unforgettable evening of camaraderie and conversation. See you there.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horrod with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
White liberals, the Gulfstream Guevaras, limousine libs, remarkable stuff. But Angela made very important points that I'm a little too colorblind to have noticed right away, and I apologize for that. I keep trying. Remarkable. But, yeah, and they're all mental cases. Sure they are. They're Democrats. But we'll get to that. I want to get to this other story first. The WUSA. Woman stabs coyote. This is the headline. Woman stabs coyote. This is in Montgomery County, Maryland. After animal attacks her in Montgomery County. What is this? The animal was shot and killed and will be tested for rabies, according to the police. The Democrats want to defund the police. They hate the police. They're on the side of the coyote in this case. Two women were injured. It's like New York City. It's this goes with the New York City story because the rabid coyote is comparable to so many Democrats out there. But I was driving in my automobile yesterday, and it was, I think, 5:30 p.m., and WMAL newswoman extraordinaire Heather Curtis was on the air, and I heard this story, and I was driving, and I got to say, I burst out laughing when I heard it. This is the first half, because there's like one woman was attacked by a coyote, and then sometime later, a second woman was attacked by a coyote in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is not exactly, Montana.
The search is on this hour for a coyote that attacked two women in separate locations in Montgomery County today. Police say the first was attacked while walking her dog on Patuxent Drive near the Watershed Park around 9:45 a.m. She was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
She was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening, but she was injured by an attacking coyote that they think is going to test positive for rabies in beautiful, bucolic, suburban Montgomery County, Maryland, which the Democrats have filled with MS-13 members that'll hack your daughter's hands off with machetes and things because the Democrats are making everything better. But I was listening. I was like, wow, a coyote. I mean, it's Montgomery County borders Washington, D.C. It surrounds a pretty good portion of Washington, D.C. And from where I am at this radio station, I could drive a golf ball into Montgomery County from the roof of this building. And so I heard that and I said, wow, that's pretty crazy, but wait, it gets better. And this is the woman I want to meet. I want to find this one. I think I want to buy her a cocktail, if not lunch. This woman carries a knife. She's out walking around probably because of MS-13 and she didn't see this coming. Here comes a rabid coyote attacking this nice lady in Montgomery County, Maryland.
Then around 3:45, another woman was attacked on Bell Road in Burtonsville. She was able to fight off the coyote by stabbing it. WMAL Sports, tonight the Caps play the Maple Leafs.
That was my favorite part. And then it's just a perfect transition from by stabbing it to we go to sports and, the Caps play the Maple Leafs. That just made me laugh out loud, I've got to say. It was such a great delivery. And I love this woman, whoever this woman is. She's out walking, minding her own business, and she's attacked by a coyote in Montgomery County, Maryland, at 3:45 p.m., right there in broad daylight in the middle of the afternoon. And what does she do? Does she go running, screaming, waving her hands in the air? Oh, no, no. No, she doesn't. She whips out a knife, and she stabs the damn rabid coyote that attacked her. We need more women like this woman. I love this woman. This woman should be in charge of something. She should get an award. And if she's listening, I want to talk to her. I want to invite her into the studio. We got to, give her a T-shirt or something. This woman deserves prizes. Wow, isn't that great? Give her a Cobra coffee mug or stuff like that. And the police say, because the police are great, not like the Democrats say, the police found the coyote and they shot and killed the coyote because it's a crazy coyote attacking women. It didn't even attack men, just like Democrats on the sidewalks of New York. Isn't that amazing? Just remarkable. So God bless that woman. And they don't have her name in the stories that I've seen, but that woman deserves to, she should have a parade. Honestly, if we lived in a more sane world, this woman would be a hero. She would be celebrated. She'd be a real celebrity, not like that Lizzo person. You know, that's I'll take this woman any day of the week. Just great stuff. Stabbed the rabid coyote that attacked her. I love her. Come on. She's like a pioneer woman, frontiers woman. Which then she got back in her prairie schooner and headed west. What a remarkable story. Just love that. Yeah, and if you're out there, we're at Nice Lady with Knife Pack and Nice Lady in Montgomery County. I love it. We're at 888-630-9625. Call in to redeem your prize because that's great stuff. Now, let's go to, since there are rabid coyotes on the loose in New York City attacking women, just like in Montgomery County with the rabid coyotes here. The rabid coyotes in New York are bipedal, and they vote Democrat, however, which is kind of weird. NBC Fake News amazingly did a story on this last night because these are the sidewalks where they walk and where their wives and daughters walk because they live in New York City. A story is almost always more important when it happens in New York City, like smoke out of Canadian wildfires can have everybody in Detroit and Chicago choking to death, and that's not a news story. But when it obstructs their view from their skyscraper in New York, then it becomes a big story. You see how that works? And on the streets and sidewalks of New York and in the subways of New York where people are being thrown in front of, as Angela was talking about, subway trains and being murdered. And does anybody look at the race of the people being attacked and the people doing the attacking? Because I know that if there were MAGA hat wearing white people going around doing this, that would be the lead. That'd be the lead part of the story there. It'd be the lead sentence in the story. But NBC Fake News doing their coverage of women being randomly, white women, which they don't mention, being randomly punched in the face on the sidewalks of New York.
I was literally just walking, and a man came up and punched me in the face.
Stories from New York City women going viral on TikTok.
You're going viral on TikTok.
I literally got punched by some man on the sidewalk.
Their videos detailing how they're allegedly getting punched in the face,
allegedly,
completely unprovoked. Several women have posted these videos describing similar allegations in just the last week.
Just
Helen
last
Kate
week.
Posted about an assault on Monday. She says she had to be treated at a local medical facility for injuries to the left side of her face.
Allegedly.
Oh, my God. It hurts so bad. I can't even talk.
Without evidence. They should really say without evidence. They're putting a lot of qualifiers in there. She claims. Yeah, well, look at her face. And she's sobbing and emotional. Have you noticed any continuity in the race of the women being attacked on the sidewalks of New York? And what have you learned about the men who are doing the attacking?
Olivia Brand posting updates on her own experience earlier this month after commenters on TikTok started connecting the two cases.
I did just get a call from the New York Police Department detective.
The NYPD says it's investigating the incidents, but says it's unclear right now whether they're connected.
Yeah,
police announced one assault
Democrats.
Arrest related to Hallie's case, 40-year-old Skyboki Stora.
Skyboki.
Taken into custody.
Skyboki Stora was taken into custody. It's Skyboki. Skyboki Stora. Skyboki Stora posts videos of himself online. He's a very large, muscular African-American man who goes on crazy rants and he posts them on Instagram and stuff.
He also bothers people on the subway and harasses cops and takes video of it.
He bothers harasses people on the subway and harasses cops. And again, I work with a wonderful woman at Newsmax named Carly, who was on the train days ago when a man punched a woman in the face on the train. And I don't think it's Skyboki Stora. It's just a different Democrat. A lot of Democrats marauding around New York City, making it a living hell.
Other users posting videos expressing shock, fear, and even sharing tips for staying safe, like not being distracted on your phone while you're out and about.
That's a good idea. And maybe carry a knife like this lady, but, you know, in Montgomery County that fended off the rabid coyote, since the rabid coyotes in New York City, again, wear Nikes, and the rabid coyote in Montgomery County not wearing Nikes. Remarkable stuff. And Skyboki Stora, 40 years old, was arrested on Wednesday And police say that Skyboki Stora randomly attacked young Kate, a 23-year-old woman. She was walking down 7th Avenue, 17th Street in New York City. And he's facing a misdemeanor assault and harassment charge. No, he's a terrorist. He's terrorizing the city and terrorizing, and it's a gender assault and a racist assault, and it's a hate crime. But they don't charge him with any of that. In fact, if he was arrested Sunday, I'll bet a dollar he's back on the sidewalk already.
It's not the first time this type of incident has been reported in the city.
When videos like that first started popping up, everyone was sending them to me and, like, commenting and, like, adding me and saying, like, look, this girl went through something similar.
Elio Wagner says she was punched in the face by someone she didn't know last September.
It's been going on for some time now, and in New York City, it's kind of no big deal. Skyboki Stora posts videos of himself, and he posted this video of himself harassing a police officer in New York City.
Hey, yeah, that's right, man. That's good for you, man. You finally harassing a white person, man. Good job, man. I'm Skyboki Marcus Garvey Grandson. You got what's coming to you, man. Yeah.
He's Skyboki. He's Marcus Garvey's grandson. He's not. He's nothing of the kind, of course. But that's Skyboki's story. New York City is not safe. It's not a civilized city. It has been turned into an uncivilized city by Democrat Party policies. Anti-police, defund the police, pro-crime, pro-criminal. You got your George Soros prosecutors in place who don't prosecute crimes and don't keep the bad guys off the street. They put them back on the street to punch women in the face and to shoot and kill police officers. And on and on. And in fact, I need to correct something. I believe I said earlier that President Trump yesterday was at the funeral for police officer Jonathan Diller. And my best girl pointed out by way of text, hey, dope, it was a wake yesterday. The funeral is actually tomorrow on Saturday, the day before Easter Sunday. And I apologize for that inaccuracy. Unlike CNN, I immediately correct. But we've got this remarkable thing going on in New York City. And man, oh man, what a world it is the Democrats are creating. They're not on our side. They're not on the side of civilization. They're on the side of Hamas and of cop killers and of women punchers and not the police and not Israel. And they're on the side of coyotes and not women. Oh, how dare the woman stab the coyote? I'll bet that we've got people out there already blaming the woman. Just crazy. All right, it looks like an interesting call. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Greg calling from Howard County, Maryland. Greg, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Mr. Plant, good morning.
Good morning.
First off, I'd like to say, first time I've ever caught a radio show.
Uh-huh.
And you're by far my favorite. Love you on the radio. Love you on Newsmax. Great guy.
Appreciate what you do.
Thank
you very much.
But, yeah, yesterday morning, I've been, Howard County, there's a park, Schooley Mill Park. I've been taking my dogs up there in the morning for about 12 years, 3:30 in the morning. I've got two new, German Shepherds. They're about a year old. They're mm-hmm. still young, but, you know, not fully developed yet.
Uh-huh.
And we're up there yesterday morning about 3:30, and out of nowhere comes there's been coyote at that park. You can hear them upstairs sometimes, because I'm up there early in the morning. You hear them howling, you hear them yelping. But have never seen one. Out of nowhere comes this coyote, starts attacking my German Shepherd, and you could hear the pack back in the woods yelping. So my thoughts are it's trying to separate one of the German Shepherds to get it to run into the woods. That seems like it was doing. I did not have a knife on me. The only thing I had was a cloth leash.
Uh-huh.
So I pull this leash out. I'm chasing this beast around, trying to whip it with this leash as my dogs are yelling and fighting. One of the dogs was trying to get into the fight, but it was like mayhem. I ended up slipping in the wet grass. The thing got hold of my leg, started biting my leg.
A coyote was biting your leg?
It was biting my leg. I was able to kick it in the face with my left boot. It let go. And at that time, I got back up, jumped back up, and I see I have a male and a female. I see my male running towards the woods where the pack is, so I'm like, oh, no. So I start running down that way, and what had happened was it was chasing my female to the woods. My female's actually a pretty smart dog. There's a little pond there. She jumped in the pond. So she didn't run into the woods. The coyote ended up running into the woods. I was able to get my male, and we ended up getting out of the park.
Get my male. That is a wild and crazy story. What is going on with the coyotes?
Yeah, they're out of control. Neither of the dogs was hurt. I've got bite marks on my leg. I dislocated my shoulder when I fell. So.
Wow, you got to go get checked for rabies, too.
No, I was at the hospital yesterday. Got my shoulder popped back in. Got my first set of rabies shots. So I got to go through the rabies shots.
Wow.
I do not think that animal was rabbit, though. I really don't. But you know,
well, I hope not.
Going through the rabies shots for sure. I think it was just an opportune hunt.
Somehow the Democrats are behind this. I just know, and must be.
You know they are.
Yeah, releasing
coyotes.
Right, they're releasing rabid coyotes into the woods because they're restoring nature. You know, they want to live in a pre-Columbian North America. You know, return to our roots. No electricity. Wow. That is an amazing story. What is going on here? We are going to need prairie schooners and rifles soon. Nuts. Greg, thank you for calling in with that amazing story.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Okay, if you're facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, other unsecured debt, or struggling to make monthly payments, you need to know that there are special services available right now that can significantly reduce what you pay every month by 40% or more. And that means if you qualify, you can save hundreds of dollars every month. Most people don't know that these services are available to help Americans with overwhelming credit card debt get significant savings and immediate financial relief without filing for bankruptcy. That's why Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you may qualify for. They've helped consumers pay off more than $1 billion in debt. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need. The information is free. So call the Accredited Debt Relief hotline now. Call 800-855-3366. That's 800-885-3366. Program and services not available in all states.
Hello, America. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you don't have Consumer Cellular yet, now is the perfect time to switch and save. For a limited time, new customers can get wireless service for as low as $15 a month for your first year. Yep, the same exact nationwide coverage as the leading carriers for $15 a month for an entire year. What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com and use code RADIO15.
See ConsumerCellular.com/FirstYear15 for promotional details.
This March, Wendy's has some amazing deals on their hamburgers made with fresh, never frozen beef.
Like a juicy Dave's single for $1 and a fresh $2 Dave's double with in-app offer.
It's such a good deal, we wrote a little ditty about it.
Get it for $1. Dave's single, order in the app. Dave's single, get it for $1. Choose wisely, choose Wendy's official hamburger March Madness.
Limited time offer, participating U.S. Wendy's. See offer details and redeem at Wendy's app. Account registration required. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S. and Alaska.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days. All in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
African Americans are the most likely to die from colorectal cancer. The most important thing you can do is get screened starting at age 45. Insurance companies are required to cover not only colonoscopy, but also virtual colonoscopy and other less invasive exams. Talk to your doctor about your options. For more information on virtual colonoscopy, visit radiologyinfo.org/virtualct.
Furnished by the American College of Radiology and the Radiology Health Equity Coalition.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop, opt out. Minimum purchase required. Interest accrues from date of purchase, but is waived if paid within promotional period. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Attention homeowners. Do you know when to replace your windows? Feeling too hot or cold? Fog between the glass? Spending too much and expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's time to replace. And right now you can get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. Plus, with our March 31-day sales event, you can save $377 off every window and $777 off every door when you buy four or more units. Just text CONSULT to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality affordable windows or patio doors for no dollars down, no monthly payments, and no interest for a year. That's right, you don't pay a dime for an entire year. Text CONSULT to 200-300 to save $377 off every window and $777 off every door when you buy four or more units. Hurry, this incredible 31-day sales offer is only in March. Text CONSULT to 200-300. Text the word CONSULT to 200-300. CONSULT to 200-300.
What an amazing story. Amazing story by Greg. Howard County, by the way, does border Montgomery County in Maryland. I don't know if it's the same coyote, but I'm going to have to, you know, it's got to be open season on coyotes. I think that might be a good idea. Hey, we've got a lot of news out of New York yesterday. President Trump doing the right thing and representing America and Americans and civilization. While the Democrats, money-grubbing, billionaire-slurping, Democrats that they are, lefties that they are, with Barack Obama showing Joe Biden around the stage and Bill Clinton looking in the audience for dates, took in $25 or $26 million. The media is very proud. It's a record one-day grab. I've got...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.